जयं शुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जयं नित्यलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की आनंदपुरी वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्रीहरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनमाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त बृंद की गौर प्रेमनंदी ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द सिंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द सिंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द सिंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री प्रभुपाद नमामि श्रीपदाय कृष्ण प्रसाद भूगलेश्वरे भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिधि नामिनी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवं गौरवाणि प्रजारिणी निर्विशेषून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितां येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति सुपदान्दिगं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदान् सहगण ललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमाम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिधि नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे नमाम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती नामिने श्री वर्षभानवी देवी दैदाय कृपाब्दये कृष्ण संबंध विज्ञानम दायिने प्रभवे नमः माधुर्योज्ज्वल प्रेमाद्या श्रीरूपानुग भक्तिदा श्री गौरकरुणा शक्ति विग्रहाय नमोस्तुते नमस्ते गौरवाणि श्रीमूर्तये दीनधारिणे रूपानुग विरुद्धाभ सिद्धान्तद्वन्द्वहारिणे नमो गौरकिशोराय साक्षाद् वैराग्यमूर्तये विप्रलम्बरसाम्भोधे पदाम्बुजायते नमः नमो भक्ति विनोदाय सचिदानंद नामिने गौर शक्ति स्वरूपाय रूपनू गौराय दे गौराविर्भव भूमिस्त्वं निर्देष्टा सज्जन प्रिया वैष्णवा सर्वभौम श्री जगन्नाथाय दे नमः वांछकल्पदरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरत्विषे नमः पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूपस्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशात्विकं हे कृष्णकरुणा सिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगल्पदे गोपेश गोपिकाकान्ता राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते अहं सुरदोपाङ्गोर्मम मन्दमदेऽर्गदि मत्सर्वस्वदाम्बोजौ राधा मदनमोहनौ दिव्यवृन्दारण्यकल्पद्रुमाद श्रीमन्द्रत्नाकरसिंहासनस्थौ श्रीश्रीराधा श्रीलगोविन्ददेवौ प्रशालिभिः सेव्यमानौ स्मरामि श्रीमन्द्रासरसारम्भि वंशी वटतटस्थिता कृष्णन् वेणुस्वनेर्गोपेर्गोपीनाथा श्रीयेस्तुनाम् तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुदे देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే, హరే కృష్ణ కృష్ణ హరే హరే, హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవతాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణ మునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీం భగవతీం అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీం అంబ త్వామనుసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణీం. నమోస్తు తే వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే పుల్లారవిందాయత పత్రనేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీపాం ప్రపన్న వారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకపాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః. సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధగోపాలనందన పార్థో వల్ససుదీర్భోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్. వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచాణూరమర్దనం దేవగీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. భీష్మద్రోణతటా జయద్రథజలా గాంధారనీలోల్పలా శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహనీ కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణ ఘోరమగరా దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోత్తీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నది కైవర్తక కేశవాం. పారాశర్యవజ సరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానగ కేసరం హరికథ సంబోధనాబోధితం లోకై సజ్జన షల్పదైరహరః పేబీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత పంకజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే. మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్ర రుద్రమరుదస్త్వన్వంది దివ్యైస్తవైర్వేదైర్ సాంగపదైర్క్రమోపనిషదైర్గాయంతి యం సమగాః. ధ్యానావస్థిత తద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యంతి యం యోగినో యస్యాందం న విదుసురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. So, last Sunday, we looked at this important verses in the Bhagavad Gita, in this 13th chapter, where Krishna concluded about the knowledge of the field and the knower of the field, Kshetram and Kshetrajna. In that verse, ఇది క్షేత్రం తథా జ్ఞానం జ్ఞేయం చోక్తం సమాసత మద్భక్త ఏదద్ విజ్ఞాయ మద్భావాయోపపద్యతే. దట్ ఈస్ ది 19th వర్స్. కృష్ణ సేస్ ఆఫ్టర్ టాకింగ్ అబౌట్ ది క్షేత్రం అండ్ క్షేత్రజ్ఞ, కృష్ణ సేస్ ఇది క్షేత్రం తథా జ్ఞానం జ్ఞేయం చోక్తం సమాసత మద్భక్త ఏదద్ విజ్ఞాయ మద్భావాయోపపద్యతే. We have mentioned there at that time that Krishna says, a devotee, one who has my Ishware Sarvajne Paramaguru Vasudeve, completely fixed on Krishna, as present as the Ishvara, as the controller, or one who is aware of everything, Sarvajneha, and Paramaguru, the supreme spiritual master, Vasudeva, Samarpita Sarvatma Bhavo, and fully surrendered in that state, whatever he sees, whatever he hears, whatever he touches, everything is Krishna. Everything is కృష్ణ యత్ పశ్యతి శృణోతి స్పృశతి వా సర్వం ఏవ భగవాన్ వాసుదేవ అండ్ వన్ హూ నోస్ దిస్ థింగ్ ఈస్ వాట్ కృష్ణ కాల్స్ ఇట్ అస్ మద్భావాయోపపద్యతే వి హావ్ సీన్ దాట్ లాస్ట్ టైం దట్ మీన్స్ దాట్ once you have this realization of kshetram and kshetrajnan as krishna mentions there what will happen is that atma only matters matter doesn't has no significance anymore matter is not matter is also coming from the atma from atma so such a person one who has come to that state that he is in the state of the presence of the identification with the soul, such a person, does he have to continue exist in this material body and suffer the miseries of this material body? For him, material body is not a misery anymore because misery is due to identification with the body. Misery is due to identification with the body. Once the identification moves on to the self, to the soul or to the one's own proper identity, then the miseries of the body does not give him the same problems what he experiences otherwise. Because when you identify with the body, every difficulty of the body becomes your difficulty. That is how it happens. When we identify with the body, all the problems of the body becomes your problem, isn't it? And every distress of the body becomes your distress. But instead, when you know that I am not the body and I am pure consciousness, prajna, and or awareness, and that is my swarupam, once you come to that platform, and also knowing very well that it is the same identity is the whole creation also. Jagat Swarupam is also Krishna. That means that Krishna calls that as the Bodham, isn't it? That Prajna or Jnapti in different words used in the Bhagavatam. So, when one who has experienced that through Anubhuti, not through knowledge, not through brain or the mind, but in experience, if it has happened to him, then such a person is Krishna calls it as Mad Bhaktaha here. You must remember this because we are thinking that, oh, I am a devotee, so I am in that state. No, you're not. Krishna is saying here that when he mentions here, Madbhakta edad vijnaya madbhavayopa padyade. That is the person Krishna calls him as devotee who has reached that state. Madbhakta edad vijnaya madbhavayopa padyade, he's saying. So, Madbhaktaha said, in other words, such a devotee, Krishna is saying that for him everything is Krishna's manifestation. Just like in the Navayogi says to Nimi, isn't it? Like Sarvabhudeshu Yapashet Bhagavadbhavam Alpana, that Bhagavadbhavam. That is what it is. And that's what exactly Krishna is saying here. Sarvabhudeshu Yapashet, in all living entities, only Krishna exists. There is nothing else. Their form and name is not important anymore. Name and form is discarded. Only the vastu inside, which is the essence, exists. Nothing else exists. So that realization is what Krishna calls mentioning in this verse. That idhi kshetram tadajnanam nyayam choktam samasata madbhakta edad vijnaya madbhavayopa padyade. Madbhavayopa padyade means that this madbhavam of seeing Krishna in everyone. That realization. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, and after knowing the secret of this kshetram kshetrajnya bhavam or kshetram and kshetrajnya, after knowing that, he stays in that madbhavam. Or Krishna calls it as madbhavam. Madbhavam. It is easy to make it very simple to give an appeal to people that, oh, everyone is a devotee, so a devotee is naturally in that. He's not. Devotee is not in that state. Unless you come to that state, you are not in that state. And that state is what Krishna is saying here, that in pure consciousness, himself, that awareness first, that himself is consciousness, nothing to do with the body. distress and the disturbances of the body does not disturb him anymore. Plus, all other living entities and the creation also, he only experiences Krishna's presence there. In other words, all Namarupam has gone. Names and forms have gone away in pure consciousness or yukti. That state what Krishna is referring to. So, in the case of realized souls, even in that state, when they are fully realized, they will conduct their business in this world. Vyavaharam will continue to be there in this world for them. But because inside they have recognized bhakti and jnanam completely, and therefore in Vyavaharam they do not get disturbed because of their recognition of bhakti and recognition of knowledge. That is the effect of knowledge and bhakti on a person. Bhakti and jnanam changes the person to such a way that Vyavaharam will not cause any problems for him anymore, or because of their realizations, anubhuti inside. And how will they be like that? And always they are in the liberated state. In other words, Jivan Mukta state. That's what is called as Jivan Mukta. Vega Chudavani, you will see a long description, about 20 verses, talking about Jivan Mukta. Who is a Jivan Mukta? Jivan Mukta's different features. Liberated while living in this body, as Krishna is saying that in the Bhagavad Gita also. So, they are also called Brahmanishtas, one who are situated in the platform Brahman. So, such people who are in that Jivan Mukta state, which are very, very rare in this world, and they are, Krishna calls them here as Madhavayopapadyade. It is the Jivan Mukta personalities who are liberated while living in this body. So, after saying that, Krishna completed that topic there. That topic was finished there. So, in the Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yogam, Krishna spoke in terms of Kshetram and Kshetrajna, isn't it? Which means the field and the knower of the field. And in other words, earlier Krishna mentioned is Prakriti and Purusha, the same thing. So, the things what Krishna is going to say from now on in this chapter has to be listened very carefully, because you cannot dilute it with anything else. It is such a straightforward thing and you have to hear it as it is. And also, this cannot be explained through any examples. What Krishna is going to say from now on, it cannot be spoken through examples. It's not possible. What will happen is, if you bring examples into this, you will only remember the examples. You won't remember the message. You won't remember the message. So, and you will lose the substance what Krishna has spoken in the coming verses. That is why we will not go through the examples process. It will not work in this kind. Just like many realized souls have understood this difficulty, that when you give too many examples, general tendency among the people is to carry the example with them. They will consider that example is interesting, but not the message or the philosophy of behind that, isn't it? So they give examples to make us understand how we lose the proper understanding. So, a person who is blind, this is an example to make us understand how you lose that, through the example you lose the message. You lose the message. A person who has not seen the milk, he has never seen the milk, he is blind from birth. He is blind from birth. There were situations like that, that there were places where there are no cows, or there were no milk is available. And there are people who are not drinking milk. And all these kinds of people used to exist in the past. So, in his house, a child got sick. The child drank some milk and the child got sick after drinking the milk. And when the child got sick, this blind person says, what has happened to the child? What has happened to the child? So, somebody told the blind person that the child has drunk some milk. And it has upset the child's stomach.
So he asked a question, what does milk means? I don't know what this milk means. So it's white color. The milk color is white, he said to this blind person. So he asked the question, what does white means? What does it mean? Because he could not explain this white color, how do you explain to someone? All you could do was to tell the person, it's like a crane. You know that bird? Crane who sit sometimes on the seashore and seagulls and things like that. It's a bird like that, he said. And he showed the side of the form of the bird like this to them. And when the form was shown to the blind person, touched that, he says, he touching that hand like this, which was shown like a crane or seagull or whatever, he says, oh, my child has swallowed the whole thing like this, he said. And it's no wonder that he has got sick, he says. The child has got sick, he said. And so you can see here, if you eat such a big thing and still, does the child still living after eating a child like this? So you started with the milk, talking about the milk, and it ended up like this at the end. So things which are not connected to each other, it will come in the middle of these examples. That is one problem there. So higher knowledge, when you go to a higher level, comparison is not possible. Examples you can use in ordinary life, but in higher values and higher principles, in Shastram, they won't use examples. It's not common. Smaller things, to make it easier, they'll use examples. But higher principles, higher understanding, higher knowledge is not possible to present it through examples. And because knowledge has no examples, no comparisons there, that's why it's called anupamam. Upama means to comparisons, you have comparisons. Anupama means which cannot be compared. And anyway, therefore, there is a mention like gaganam gaganagaram. Sky, you can only compare with the sky. You can't compare with anything else in this world. Sagaram sagaropamam. Like the ocean, you can only compare with the ocean. And similarly, Rama Ravanayo Yuddham, Rama Ravanayo Riha. The war between Ramachandra and Ravana, that can only be compared to war between Ramachandra and Ravana. There is no other comparison. This is spoken in the Valmiki Ramayanam while talking about the Rama Ravana war. In order to explain that, they will mention it like this. Gaganam Gaganagaram Sagaram Sagaropamam Rama Ravanayo Yuddham Rama Ravanayo Yuddham. So, in this the same way. So, you cannot compare sky with anything else. You can't compare the ocean with anything else. So, this higher knowledge, what Krishna is talking about it here, if you say that some example is necessary, then that example is very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. Just like they give the example, Prabhupada also gave this example. It is taken from the Upanishads. This example has come from the Upanishads. There is a frog lying in the well, in the deep well, isn't it? One day, another frog arrived in the well. And that frog has come from the ocean. So, the frog in the well asked the frog from the ocean, where are you coming from? He said, I'm coming from the ocean, he said. So, he says, how much water have you got there in the ocean? So, he says, oh, it's very big, huge it is, he said. How big is it, he said, the frog in the ocean, the frog in the well. So he said, I can't explain that it is so big, he said. The frog in the well is asking this question, is it as big as this well? Will that be bigger than this, he said. And the frog jumped from one end to the other end of the well and says to the frog which has come from the ocean, that can you jump across like this or is it smaller than that? The question he was asking like this. So, you can't compare the well to the ocean, isn't it? So he said, the other frog said, that there is nothing bigger than that. You should go out of this well first. And so the frog in the well says to the frog from the ocean, give me a comparison then. If I can't understand it, you keep telling me that I can't understand the ocean. Then give me a comparison to that, he said. Ultimately, this frog who came from the ocean says to him, look at the sky, he said. It's like the sky. That's how big it is, he said. I can only compare with that. I can't compare anything else, he said. So, the frog in the well is still seeing the sky, which is within the ring of the well. It can't see any other extension of the sky. It only seeing that sky, which is within the well, isn't it? So, similarly, we ourselves is in this well called this material body. We are inside this material body. And the jiva who is in this material body, he is trying to understand Krishna, who is unlimited. Akhandam he is, isn't it? Krishna is unlimited. And you are sitting inside, we are all sitting in this limited well, limited body, and trying to understand this unlimited Krishna, who is everywhere throughout the creation and beyond than that, isn't it? So this is not, but this akhanda vastu means this unlimited Krishna, we are experiencing to a very small extent within this body due to the presence of Antaryami inside. We are experiencing a very limited way within this material body. And that frog which was in the well, for him to make understand, the rishis have to speak one whole Upanishad, which is called Mandukya Upanishad. This Mandukya Upanishad came to because of this. Manduga means frog. Mandukya Upanishad means centered around this frog that Upanishad was spoken. Because you have to remember this, that when we are studying Shastram, when we are hearing Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam and all, you have to know your position in relationship with Krishna. Krishna is unlimited, isn't it? Creation, he is present all over. He is present inside us also. We are studying Krishna, looking only into this Antaryami inside, not realizing that he is in the whole creation present, and without his awareness, nothing goes on in this creation. That aspect we forget, and we are trying to study from this limited way of Krishna's presence inside. So, the mandugam, that means this frog which has come from the ocean, it held the hand of the other frog which was in the well and told that frog, you have to get out of this well first. Now, if you look into the well, you will see the rings inside. You must have seen, if you look into the well, there will be rings, isn't it? 1, 2, 3 rings, or 3, 4, 5 rings, depending on the depth of the well. You will find many rings in the well, the way they construct the well, isn't it? So, there are 3 rings we have got here. And if you get out of these 3 rings, you can escape from this. What is that? Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. That is the 3 rings in which we are inside this. This is a comparison to make it a little bit easier. That this Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti state, which means vacant, dream state and the deep sleep. These 3 states is the 3 rings in which this mandugam or this frog is jumping around inside. And he is trying to understand that sky unlimited Krishna within while lying within this 3 rings in the well. 3 rings in the well. So when he crosses beyond these 3 rings and when he comes out of that wall, or when he comes out of that what do you call it, it's Almera, isn't it? Outside the well they build a fencing around, which I call Almera, I think. Then they come out of that Almera, then he sees the sky, unlimited sky, and he recognizes that Chidagasham, that is what is called as Chidagasham. That Chidagasham experience comes at that time, and then he realizes that how he thought about himself in a very limited way. He loses that limited identity what he had with the body. When you are identifying with the body, you are limited, is it not? But when you identify with Chitshakti, Chidagasham, you are not limited anymore. That is why you have to remember this. When they spoke about Sukadeva Goswami in the Bhagavadam, Tam Sarvabhuta Hridayam Munimanatosmi, it is based on this understanding. that it is no more any identification with the body. All of them, you can see that Jadabharata also, in the same way, Shukha Brahmarshi, and similarly Dattatreya Maharshi, Yadu, all of them are like that. That they are not identifying anymore with one particular body anywhere. More interesting than that is, you will see the nine sages who came to see whom? King Nimi. What did they say? Did you know why they explained it like that? In the way it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, if you look, you will see there. Avyaha deshtagadaya surasiddha sadhyam. That is what they are. Who? These Navayogis. If you look into the 11th canto, you will see there in the second chapter where they talk about this. Yeah, if you look into the 23rd verse in the second chapter, this is how would you define a personality about them, these nine sages. How are they? Avyaha deshtagadaya surasiddha sadhya gandharva yaksha naraginnara nagalokan Muktascharandi Municharana Bhutanatha Vidyadara Dujagavam Bhuvanani Kamam. That is that they are. That's what they are. Avyaha Deshtagadaya Surasiddha Sadhya Gandharva Yaksha Nara Kinnara Nagaloka. In other words, if you want to ask who they are, the only answer you can give is like this. They appeared, nine sages appeared from the sky one after the other with a body suitable for this world. They are capable of going to heavenly planets, Siddha Logam and Gandharva Yogam, Yaksha Logam, Kinnara's Logam, Naga Logam. All those places they can travel and they can accept the body what suits them for that particular place where they are traveling to. This is the... So which one would you identify with? Gandharva yaksha naraginnara nagalogan muktascharandi. Why? Because they are liberated. Because they are liberated. When you are not liberated, what happens? We identify with one body. This is my body. Always I keep identifying and establishing myself in that. But there he says here, Shukha Brahmarshi says here, Narada Maharshi says here, muktascharandi. They are always in the liberated platform they are traveling. Muktascharandi. Muni charana bhutanada vidyadara dvijagavam bhuvanani kamam. That muni charana, their identification, which one will you identify them with? Charanas, bhutanathas, vidyadaras, dvijagavam bhuvanani kamam. So there, when they are identifying with one body, you are in this three ring of Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. When you are released from that three rings of Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, that is the state of the liberated soul. This is the important thing. When Shukha Brahmarshi went with Krishna in the last chapters of the 10th canto, you will notice there that Krishna accepted invitation from two people, Shrutadeva and Bahulashva. Shrutadeva was a Brahmana, Bahulashva was a king. They were two. One was very poor and the other one was extremely rich. So Krishna accepted invitation from both personality, both are devotees, and went to see both of them at the same time. Krishna expanded himself into two forms and went to them. While going, all the sages went with Krishna. They also had to expand. Krishna expanded them in two different patterns. Sukadeva Goswami also expanded in two bodies. One Sukadeva Goswami went to Shrutadeva, another one went to Bahulashva. Parikshit asked a question, which one of them I am now talking to? What else can you say? This is the liberated platform. That material identification with the material body keeps us thinking that this is everything, this body is everything. And that identification, as it gets worse, due to the strong identification of the body, we can't understand anything beyond the body. And within these three rings in avidya, we keep rotating. What Krishna is making it very clear here is that when realization, Krishna is realized properly, this identification will go away. And Krishna says there, this cannot be made to experience to someone. On the other hand, and just like the The frog in the well won't understand the sky. Frog in the well won't understand the ocean either. Till it comes out of the three rings in the inside the well and it comes out. So no matter what amount of comparisons or examples you give to that frog in the well, it will never understand what an ocean is. Similarly, whatever from what Krishna is going to talk about from now on, whatever examples you may give, it is considered, it will actually create a wrong understanding inside. Therefore, no examples from now on for the remaining part of the chapter, this chapter. Mainly this reason is that you will start misunderstanding things, that oh, it is like this. Because example does some problems also. All examples are not very good. Sometimes examples make an impression in our mind, oh, it is like this. And this cannot be given through, this understanding cannot be given through examples. It has to be accepted and it has to be experienced within. So that is why this Jagrat Sapnam Sushupti, these three things is a dream state. Krishna calls it as a dream state. Sri Narada Maharshi also calls it as a dream state. Trin Swapnan Dunute Muni. Where does he say that? In the seventh canto, if you look, you will see there. Trin Swapnam Swapnan Dunute Muni. He mentions in the 14th chapter. If you, this is while discussing, Sri Narada Maharshi discussing with Yudhishthira Maharaj, yes. Trin Swapnan Dunute Muni. The three transcending the, yeah. If you look at the 62nd verse in the 15th chapter, 7:15:62. Bhavadvaidam, Kriyadvaidam, Drivyadvaidam, Tadhalpmana. Vartayan Swanubhutyeha, Trin Swapnan Dunute Muni. All these three states are three states of dreams. Vacant state, dream state and the deep sleep. Narada Maharshi is saying to Dushtira that Vartayen Sanubhutyeha Trin Swapnan Dunute Muni. Muni or the thoughtful person or one who has this realized this state, what will happen to him? He transcends these three states of existence. Which one? Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti. How? Through Bhavadvaidam, Kriyadvaidam, Dravyadvaidam. Three states. That is the three process he mentions there. Bhavadvaidam, Kriyadvaidam, Dravyadvaidam. What does that mean? We talked about that before also. Dravyadvaidam is a way to transcend the world. How do you transcend the world? Knowing very well, everything what you see in this world is Krishna's. That is Dravyadvaidam. Dravyam is, everything is Krishna's. Dravya means objects or the wealth in this world, whatever we call it, the materials in this world. That Dravyam is all Krishna's. That is Krishna's Dravyam. If you take that attitude, then it becomes Dravyadvaidam. In the life, it becomes Dravyadvaidam. And Kriyadvaidam is that whatever actions that's coming through the body, it is executed by Krishna. Krishna is doing that. Through this body is happening. If that perfection has come in that understanding, then it becomes Kriyadvaidam. When one fully realizes that everything is Krishna's property, not mine, I have nothing to do with this, it's all Krishna's wealth, that is Dravyadvaidam. And when everything, all our activities, which is going through, the happening through this body, if that becomes Krishna's activity, Krishna is performing that activity through this body, if that realization comes, it's Kriyadvaidam. So these three Advaidam, Bhavadvaidam, Kriyadvaidam, Dravyadvaidam, will release a person through these three states of dreams. We call it Jagrat Sapnam Sushupti. It's not only one is the dream state. Actually, all the three are dream state. Because none of them is real, you see. Jagrat is not real. Dream state is not real. Sushupti is also not real. Why? All the three modes of material nature is present in all the three states. That is why it's not real. Only when the three modes of nature withdraws completely, then you can say that you have transcended this limited existence of the body. Only when the three states withdraw from you.
only when the three modes withdraw from you. So therefore, Dravyadvaitam, Kriyadvaitam and Bhavadvaitam. Bhavadvaitam is, what it means is that in Bhavam, that when everything happens in this world, anything that is happening in this material existence, in none of them, the self is not involved. I am not involved. It's the mind and the body or the brain is involved. I have nothing to do with it. This is Bhavadvaitam. So, which are very higher states of realizations, isn't it? Bhavadvaitam, Kriyadvaitam, Dravyadvaitam. So, Narada Maharshi says to Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira, with these three, Bhavadvaitam, Kriyadvaitam and Dravyadvaitam, Vartayan Swanubhutyeha, that you can transcend these things, Trin Swapnan Dhunute Muni. He will cross over the three states of Ajnanam. It is three states of Ajnanam it is. What we call as Jagrat Vaikan state is also a Ajnanam state. And also the state of dream is Ajnanam state. State of Sushupti is also Ajnanam state. So that is that. So Krishna is saying that in this verse you find here what Trin Swapnan Dhunute Muni. So this we in our normal existence is in these three states, isn't it? Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. All the three states are dream states. That also we have to acknowledge. You may think that awakened state, I am awake. You're not awake. Actually, till you realize the self, you're not awake. So this is one state of dream, the awakened state. Then of course the normal dream state, what we call as the dream state. And then the deep sleep is also a state of dream. And so there, transcending these three states is important. That is what Narada Maharshi says there. Then how do you do that? Because at the moment, when the frog is in the well, the frog is talking about the sky. And the frog in the well is thinking that the sky is inside the well. The sky is inside the well. But then when realization happens, when proper realization happens, the whole thing changes. It will change like this. The well is in the sky, not the sky in the well. That is what happens. When the frog was in the well, the frog thought that the sky is in the well. When self-realization happens, a liberated soul realizes that the well is in the sky. Well is in the sky. Exactly opposite thing. That's what will happen to everyone who realizes the self finally. He'll come to know that this identification with the body has no meaning at all, whatsoever. And he also realizes that I am situated within the space, not the space is situated within me. So, just like the two examples in the Bhagavatam, once they talk about the pot and the sky inside the pot. Vyavaharam we will say the space is inside the pot. In Vyavaharam language, we will say the space is inside the pot. And we will say the space is caught up inside that pot. What they call it as Ghatakasham and Matakasham. If you look into Parikshit, finally, he will mention this. That's how when he realized, he explained it in that way. If you look into that 12th canto, fifth chapter, the verse is also fifth. Ghathe bhinne yathakasham, akashasyal yathapura, evam dehe mrute jivo, brahma sambadhyade puna. That's the Parikshit statement. Parikshit says, Ghathe bhinne yathakasham, akashasyal yathapura. Earlier, he was thinking, I am within this body. Ghathe bhinne yathakasham. But when he was released from the bodily identification by Shuka Brahmarshi's words, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from Shuka Brahmarshi, when he got released, he is saying, Akashasya Yathapura. I am actually Akasham. And in that, this small pot is this body. Within, and I am that space, not this body. This is that shift. Till then he was identifying with the pot rather than with the space. So, Akashasya Yathapura. Evam Dehe Mrute Jivo Brahma Sambhadyade Puna. When he loses his identity as Jiva, Evam Dehe Mrute Jivo. That means the Jivatvam, the Jiva nature is like that. To identify with being limited, identifying with the limited body. Evam Dehe Mrute Jiva. When he loses his body, when he comes out of this body, Deham dies. Along with that, Jivatvam also dies. He is not Jiva anymore. And Brahma Sambhadyade Puna, he becomes Brahma. That is what Parikshit says in the Bhagavadam about it in the same way. So, from these two statements, said Krishna says here that without the space, the pot cannot stay. Pot needs a space, isn't it? Therefore, pot is only a concept. Space is the permanent thing. Pot is a concept at that time. Actually, only space exists. Space exists. So the pot has fallen into the space. Pot has fallen into the space. In other words, we in our vision normally think mics exist. Mic is existing now, isn't it? Mic exists here. But actually, if you ask any scientist, he will say the mic exists. Because mic cannot exist if there is no space. If there is no space. Suppose there is no space, how can a mic exist? Space is more important, not the mic important. This is the important thing. In Vedantam, everything goes in a different way. We are used to seeing things in one way. We are seeing all the things. We don't value about the space. Important thing is, just like the experiencer is important, experience is not important. Is it not? So many experiences going on in this world. We give importance to the experience. Shastram says, shift your attention from the experience to the experiencer. Experiencer is important. Experience will come and go. It has no value. Similarly, space is important, not the vastu or mic is or any object in this world. We give reality to all the objects in this world. Suppose there was no space, none of these objects can exist. Can they? Because this is the importance of the space. That's what Krishna is saying here. That importance of space is such, if the space doesn't exist, objects don't exist. In that expansion of the space is all these objects what you are seeing. In the objects what you are seeing. So if you say that there is a space exist, space is only exist. Only thing that exists is the space. And with space, without the existence of the space, vastu cannot exist. Then the question will come, what about I am experiencing so many objects in this creation? So many, and that is what is called the magic of creation. That is the magic of creation. People, it's very difficult to make all these things understand sometimes because people are used to seeing things and they want everything in their own understanding. Is it not? But Shastram, Krishna's point is that they can see from the Bhagavadam itself that within this space, so many things existing, what you see as existing, a reality. You have given reality to the objects, not where it is existing. Krishna's point is, give importance to where it exists. In the space it exists, and in the absence of the space, vastu has no existence. And therefore, it is a magic, it's called. The existence of every object in this creation is a magic. Similarly, material body is also like that. It's a magic. That we are identified with the body to such an extent that we think body is the only important thing. And that is our falsity in the understanding. It's a magic of creation. That when you fall within a body and start thinking that this body is everything and body is my identity, it is similar to that. We forget the point that
our self, which is the space, it is within that space this body has come into existence. Self is the space here. And self is unlimited. Sarvabhuta hridayam muni manadosmi. That is the nature of the self, present everywhere, isn't it? And within that space, this body has come. Just like the huge, vast amount of space, all these objects have come. If that space was not there, objects won't exist. Similarly, if this space wasn't there, Antaryami inside, which is space, this body cannot exist. This body cannot exist. This is the principle behind it. And what is, why do we feel the importance of this body? That is the magic of creation. That's the magic of creation. We can talk about it, but unless it realized, all this hasn't mean much. So, so because, therefore, material body is identified, considered as a magic because of this reason. That is why Krishna has never taken much interest to talk about the body. Only to a very limited extent, he spoke about Prakriti, isn't it? I'm saying all these things in introduction to the next few verses, because next few verses are centered around this understanding of the body. Then, if it is like this, then if I'm thinking that, then if I'm seeing this body as me, and I'm identifying with this body in this way, when I get sick, or when I feel some distress with this body, I'm feeling experience. I'm feeling the misery of that. Isn't it? When some problem comes with the body, I'm feeling disturbed over the problem. And similarly, some distress comes also. So, what you have to remember that, realized soul, what they said about that was, they say when you look at the movie, what happens in the movie? When in the movie somebody gets sick or somebody is feeling the pain, you don't feel the pain, isn't it? But when it happens to this body, you are feeling the pain. The only way to explain that is that it is like in the movie, this body at the moment. It has come and will give you a lot of trouble and it will go one day. And you are holding on to this body thinking that forever I am this body. And when the body is suffering, you are identifying with it and suffering from that. Krishna's point is that exactly like in the creation, first the creation is the space, isn't it? Agasham. Mahatvatam came, Agasham. Agasham, from then onwards, the other elements came and other objects came later. But all of them could only exist if the Agasham was there, the sky was there. Similarly, we are the sky. We are not the Chidagasham we are. Chit Shakti is what we are. And in that Agasham, body has come. And body will go one day. If this consciousness is awakened inside, this realization, then what happens in that body should not become a cause of disturbance to us. So, we have to see things as they are. Otherwise, we will experience the misery also. Just like in the magic show, sometimes magic, people are very experts, magicians are there. They can create such wonderful situations and the people will suffer because of that. In artificially, they can create that. There were famous magicians like that. There is one story about that. In one instance, a famous magician, he was invited by the king to perform magic. And this person, he was so expert at it that he created the war between the demons and the demigods in the sky happening. And all the people who were assembled there, they got completely freaked out by what happened when the war happened in the magic. Dead bodies started falling from the sky. And a lot of fighting going on, blood coming out everywhere, and people lying on the ground fully dead. Demigods and demons. This fight, he showed it through the magic to the people. And people started running all over when this happened. And the process, when they started running, they fell down and they hurt themselves. And that was real. They hurt themselves. That has happened. So, and so, even it was a magic, the after effect was there. The after effect was there. And similarly, we are also experiencing the after effect of that. Because what is the reason? The reason is this, that the body, we think that it's real. That is the problem. That is that magic. So, in other words, what Krishna is saying here is that if you want to see the real thing, the truth, comparisons and metaphors won't work. Metaphors won't work. Because nothing can be compared to this situation what we are in with the body and the sky. Body and the sky. In the Chidagasham or Chitshakti, this body is an imaginary thing. Like in the sky, so many objects have come. Similarly, in this vast Chidagasham, why is it called Chidagasham? Because Agasham is unlimited. Sky is unlimited, isn't it? Why it is called Chidagasham? Because in Chidagasham means consciousness. Consciousness is compared to Chidagasham. Because it is unlimited, like the sky, it is called sky. Chit Agasham. But it is, the word is used there, Chit Agasham. Chit Agasham means Agasham or the unlimited sky with consciousness. And in that sky of consciousness, Chidagasham, this body has no reality. It has come and it will go. That's all it is. It may last for 60, 70, 80 years, whatever it is. But ultimately it's meant to go. It has no genuine existence here in this. So that is why Anvayam is not possible. Anvayam and Vidrekam, two things. Anvayam is not possible. but if you continuously hear what Krishna has spoken in the next few verses, if you keep on thinking that way and direct your mind in that direction, and instead of, without allowing actually the mind to interfere, rather directly listen to the message what Krishna has spoken, and if it goes from heart to heart without being touched by the mind or the brain, and it might have its effect. It might have its effect. That is what Krishna is saying here. Because without writing it down, or suppose you listen through the cassettes or through the CD, all these things. Suppose you have heard this before directly, and again when you hear that, you may have a little bit of experience of that again. But that is not enough. And there is some problem with that. By listening from the CD or from the cassettes or any recorded equipment. The problem is this. Something what we will hear from the cassette or CD, which hasn't become your own experience, you will start repeating that in your own words. And that is troublesome. That is troublesome. This is the reason Shastram always insists that you should hear direct, and what effect it has on you, whatever little effect, that's more valuable than what you have acquired through the mind and the brain. Mind and brain will capture something when you hear something. And the result of that is that it has not become ours yet. When you hear from the cassette or the CD, the problem is that it hasn't become our own still. Anubhuti hasn't happened. And therefore, what they say is that you may repeat that in the same way. And when you do that, the mind will definitely have its influence on that. And it will create problems. It will create problems. So, and we may reproduce things which has not become ours, which has not become ours. So, therefore, things what is in our anubhuti, in our realization, that should be alone taken seriously, not what has been heard from the cassettes or from the CDs or whatever it is. So, everything that depends on our own sincerity on these things. How sincere we are about it. Want to know the experience, the truth. That's what it is. That sincerity means, when we say from the Shastram, it means actually how sincere you are for the anubhuti. Not for hearing, or not for memorizing it, or not for the sake of the mind or the satisfaction of the mind or the brain. but rather for the anubhuti side. That means experiencing that. You know, that way. So, because the reason is, cassette and CD, it has no life in there. Is it not? Cassette and CD has no life. This message will only go from consciousness to consciousness. Remember, in the Bhagavatam, that message is very clear. Which one? Kasmayena vibhasitoyamatulyo jnana pradipa puram. That is how jnanam was always transmitted. From Krishna to Krishna. Krishna to Krishna. It's an important message in the Bhagavatam. The process of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Jnanam, jnana pradipa pura. And tadrubenaja naradaya munaye krishnaya tadrubina. Krishna spoke, Krishna heard in Brahma's heart. Again, Krishna spoke from Brahma's heart. Krishna heard in Narada Maharshi's heart, sitting in Narada Maharshi's heart. Sitting in Narada Maharshi's heart, Krishna spoke. This is the way spiritual knowledge gets transmitted. There is no other way. Otherwise, if it simply becomes an experience of the mind and the brain, it is not going to the right place where it is meant to go. That is why the reason Shastram says you should hear from anyone. It's always direct hearing is important. You may have some experience from later on if you second time hear from the cassette or CD. But direct hearing is important because only when you hear at that point in time if anything happens, that's what it is. That's what it is. So that is why, so all these things that in the, because those things, what you hear from the cassettes or the CDs, because they don't have life in them. Krishna is not there in them speaking, isn't it? It's recorded, it's a mechanism it is. It is something what you have managed to repeat the same thing by using a mechanism. That is not Krishna's way of transmitting the message like in the Bhagavatam. We must clearly understand this difference between hearing from a person and hearing from a recorded equipment. Recorded equipment is not the same as hearing from a person. When you hear from a person, Krishna is speaking, Krishna is listening. Always it is like that. And that is why at the very end of Bhagavatam, that verse was spoken. Kasmayena vibhasitoya matulo jnana pradipa pura. Tadruvenaja naradaya munaye krishnaya tadruvina. Yogindraya tadalpanada bhagavadradaya karunyada tachrudham vimalam vishokam amrudam satyambaram dhimahi. This is at the end of Bhagavatam. End of Bhagavatam. Now, to make that clear, again from the beginning of Bhagavatam itself, if you look, what did he say? Tene brahma hridaya adigavaye muhyandiyat suraya. Brahma, tene brahma hridaya adigavaye. Lord Brahma, to whom this message was delivered by Krishna, how did he transmit that message? Tene brahma hridam. The Brahma Hrida, in Brahma's heart, Krishna was present there and he received the message. Muhyandiyat Suraya. And because that message was transmitted like that, Suraya Muhyandi. Suraya means even highly learned scholars, they get sometimes deluded by this. Why are they deluded? Because this process of transmission, unless that happens, all your knowledge, everything is not effective. Isn't it? Till this transmission happens, it comes to the heart and directly goes into the place where it's meant to go. When that happens, you can say that it has worked. It has system has worked. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, but because of this, we shouldn't get worried about it. Oh, it hasn't happened to me. No, because this is not something meant for understanding with the mind or with the brain. That's the main thing to understand is that. It's not meant for understanding with the mind or brain. it is like this. Suppose somebody who has got a name, Rama. Rama is his name. If I call him Rama, he will answer. He's going to answer that, isn't it? So, if we keep on talking about this self, about the spiritual nature of spiritual nature, that at some point in time,
that consciousness inside, he will capture that. Antaryami inside will capture it when it's ready. And then when it captures, it's what is called in Shastram as Pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna means that. Pratyabhijna means when the Antaryami inside captures the message. Suddenly it will capture that message when we continuously talking about it. After saying this, Krishna mentions there that while sitting inside this kshetram, kshetram means this body, that one should experience kshetrajnyan, who is the supreme controller, Sarveshwara, or the Antaryami, and we should experience him. While sitting inside this kshetram, that means this body, you should experience the kshetrajnyan inside. And in order to do that, one needs this understanding of Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yoga. That is what this chapter is about. Kshetrajna is Purusha and Kshetram is Prakriti. Yeah. And it is keeping these two things, Kshetram and Kshetrajna, or Purusha and Prakriti. Krishna goes in to explain that further in the next verse. If you look, you will see what Krishna has to say about that. It is quite complicated in the next two verses. But if you see some of the, if you take it to some extent, that verse on board, you will see the immense benefit of that knowledge of Krishna's words. We'll come to that. So, next verse. Prakritim purusham chaiva vidyanadi ubhavapi vikaramscha gunamscha eva Vidhi Prakriti Sambhavan Prakritim Purusham Chaiva Vidhyanadi Ubhavapi Vikaramscha Gunamscha eva Vidhi Prakriti Sambhavan Prakritim Purusham Chaiva Vidhyanadi Ubhavapi Vigaramscha Gunamscha eva Vidhi Prakriti Sambhavan. Vidhi Prakriti Sambhavan. Material nature and the living entities should be understood to be beginningless. Their transformation and the modes of matter are products of material nature. So, Prakritim Purusham Chaiva Vidhyanadi Anadi Ubhavapi Vikaramscha Gunamscha Iva Vidhi Prakriti Sambhavam. Krishna is saying. So, let's look at it this way. Prakriti and Purusha both are anadi. Anadi means beginningless. Isn't it? Both Prakriti and Purusha both are beginningless. So, in other words, you can never say when they started, Prakriti and Purusha. Vikaram, Krishna says, Vikaramscha Gunamschaiva. Vikaram means three modes of material nature, Sattvam, Rajasa, and Tamasa. Vikaram also means body, the mind, intelligence, ego, senses. They are all vikaram. Is it not? You know that. Body is a vikaram. Vikaram means it has got a birth. Transformation happened. From the mind, body has come. Remember, we talked about it before. From body, mind didn't come. We all think like that, isn't it? From the body, mind has come. But no, from the mind, body has come. Because based on the subtle body, this body was, gross body was created. And the body and the mind has come from the intelligence and ahankaram. All those things from the subtle body, they have created manifested. Not in the terms of emotions, Krishna is talking about this. Vikaram means not emotions. So, in other words, when Prakriti, it started breaking up like this. And that's how mind, intelligence, ego and the gross body, they have all come due to breakup of the Prakriti. Isn't it? So Krishna is saying here, విద్ధి ప్రకృతి సంభవాన్, ప్రకృతి సంభవాన్ విద్ధి. కృష్ణ సేస్ ప్రకృతి సంభవాన్ విద్ధి, ప్రకృతి ఇట్ సెల్ఫ్ హ్యాస్ ట్రాన్స్ఫార్మ్డ్ ఇన్ టు ఆల్ దిస్. విచ్ వన్? మైండ్, ఇంటెలిజెన్స్, ఈగో అండ్ సెన్సెస్ అండ్ ఫైనల్ ది గ్రోస్ బాడీ ఆల్సో. ఇట్ ఈస్ ఆల్ ట్రాన్స్ఫర్మేషన్ ఆఫ్ ద ప్రకృతి, ట్రాన్స్ఫర్మేషన్ ఆఫ్ ద ప్రకృతి ఇన్ డిఫరెంట్ ఫార్మ్స్ ఈస్ దిస్ వన్స్. విచ్ వన్? బాడీ, మైండ్, ఇంటెలిజెన్స్, ఈగో అండ్ సెన్సెస్, ఎవ్రీథింగ్. అండ్ దీస్ త్రీ మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ నేచర్ ఈస్ ఆల్సో ఇన్ ద ప్రకృతి, ఇన్ ది ప్రకృతి. అండ్ కృష్ణ సేస్ వికారాంశ గుణాంశైవ విద్ధి ప్రకృతి సంభవాన్ అండ్ దే ఆర్ లిమిటెడ్ టు ప్రకృతి. ఇన్ అదర్ వర్డ్స్ దే కెనాట్ టచ్ ది సెల్ఫ్. సెల్ఫ్ ఈస్ నాట్ టచ్డ్ బై త్రీ మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ నేచర్. సెల్ఫ్ ఈస్ నాట్ టచ్డ్ బై ఎనీ ఆఫ్ దీస్ థింగ్స్. విచ్ వన్? బాడీ, మైండ్, ఇంటెలిజెన్స్, ఈగో, సెన్సెస్. ఆల్ ఆఫ్ దమ్ కెనాట్ టచ్ ది సెల్ఫ్. నైదర్ ది త్రీ మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ నేచర్ కెన్ టచ్ ది సెల్ఫ్. దాట్ ఈస్ వాట్ ఈస్ సెయింగ్ దేర్. ప్రకృతి పురుషం చైవ విద్యనాది ఉభావ, విద్యనాది అనాది ఉభావవి వికారాంశ గుణాంశైవ విద్ధి ప్రకృతి సంభవాన్. ఫస్ట్ అండర్స్టాండ్ ప్రకృతి. దిస్ రిమార్కబుల్ డిఫరెన్స్ బిట్వీన్ ప్రకృతి అండ్ పురుష. పురుష ఈజ్ సో ఇండిపెండెంట్ దట్ అట్ నో పాయింట్ ఇన్ టైమ్ ప్రకృతి హ్యాస్ ఎనీ ఇంపాక్ట్ ఆన్ ది పురుష. పురుష ఇస్ ద సెల్ఫ్. పురుష ఇస్ ది సెల్ఫ్. అండ్ ప్రకృతి సంభవాత్, కృష్ణ సేయింగ్ విద్ధి ప్రకృతి సంభవాన్, దే ఆర్ ఆల్ డ్యూ టు ది ప్రెసెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ది ప్రకృతి. డ్యూ టు ది ప్రెసెన్స్ ఆఫ్ ది ప్రకృతి. ప్రకృతి కెన్ ఎఫెక్ట్ ది బాడీ, ప్రకృతి కెన్ ఎఫెక్ట్ ద మైండ్, ప్రకృతి కెన్ ఎఫెక్ట్ ది ఇంటెలిజెన్స్, ప్రకృతి కెన్ ఎఫెక్ట్ ద ఈగో, ప్రకృతి కెన్ ఎఫెక్ట్ యువర్ సెన్సెస్. ప్రకృతి కెనాట్ ఎఫెక్ట్ యువర్ సెల్ఫ్. యువర్ సెల్ఫ్, యు ఆర్ నాట్ ఎఫెక్టెడ్ బై ద ప్రకృతి అట్ ఎనీ టైమ్. ఆల్ దాట్ వాట్ వీఆర్ వర్కింగ్ విత్ ఈస్ దీస్ థింగ్స్, ఇస్ ఇట్? బాడీ, మైండ్, ఇంటెలిజెన్స్, ఈగో, సెన్సెస్, ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్. దిస్ ఈస్ అ షో దాట్ ఈస్ గోయింగ్ ఆన్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్. బట్ ఇన్సైడ్ అవర్ రియల్ ఐడెంటిటీ యాజ్ ద సెల్ఫ్, యాజ్ అ సోల్, ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ హ్యావ్ నో ఇన్ఫ్లుయెన్స్ దేర్. దాట్ ఈస్ ది ఇంపార్టెంట్ పాయింట్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ మేకింగ్ దేర్. దోస్ థింగ్స్ ఆర్ హ్యాపెనింగ్ ఇన్ ద ప్రకృతి. వీఆర్ విత్ ద పురుష, వీఆర్ విత్ ది పురుష. పురుష ఈజ్ అవర్ నేచర్. పురుష ఈజ్ వాట్ వీఆర్. We are not the prakriti. Prakriti changes happen. Vikaram happens inside the prakriti. That's the point Krishna is making there. So that is why Krishna says here that why they do not have any impact on the Purusha. That's the next verse. If you look at the next verse, you'll see that.
Karya karana kartatve.
Karya karana.
హేతు ప్రకృతి రుచ్యతే పురుష సుఖ దుఃఖానాం భోక్తృత్వే హేతు రుచ్యతే కార్యకారణ కర్తృత్వే హేతు ప్రకృతి రుచ్యతే పురుష సుఖ దుఃఖానాం భోక్తృత్వే హేతు రుచ్యతే. కార్యకారణకర్తృత్వే హేతు ప్రకృతి ఉచ్యతే, పురుష సుఖ దుఃఖానాం భోక్తృత్వే హేతు ఉచ్యతే. దాట్స్ రీజన్. కార్యకారణకర్తృత్వే హేతు ప్రకృతి ఉచ్యతే, పురుష సుఖ దుఃఖానాం భోక్తృత్వే హేతు ఉచ్యతే. కృష్ణస్ పాయింట్ ఈస్ హియర్ దట్ కార్యకారణకర్తృత్వం, కార్యకారణకర్తృత్వం, యు విల్ సీ that two ways it is spoken in different Bhagavad Gita. You will see karya karana kartrutve, karya karana kartrutval, different ways it is spoken. Karana means cause, karya means effect. Karana means cause and karya means effect. For example, the earth is the cause and pot is the effect. Pot is the effect. So everything in this world, there is cause and effect for everything, isn't it? And they there is a link between the cause and the effect. This cause and effect link is only in the prakriti. Only in the prakriti it exists. For example, in this world, creation happens in the world, isn't it? in this creation, there's so much creation going on. But that's all happening in the Prakriti. Everything is happening in the Prakriti. What does the Purusha does when creation happens? What Purusha does says, Krishna says, Purusha sukhadukhanam boktrate hetu ruchyate. Sukhadukhanam boktrate hetu ruchyate. Krishna is saying, Purusha means here, Jiva. Jiva is the Purusha here. Puram means the body, gross body, shariram. You will see, navadvare pure dehi, the body with the nine holes, addressing this body, isn't it? Or a city with the nine holes, navadvare pure dehi. So, in this body we have nine holes, isn't it? Two eyes, two ears, and the mouth, rectum and genitals, all these things. That's how the body is addressed, navadvaram, navadvare puram. Means body with nine holes. Body with nine holes. And about this body, Shastram has got only one thing to say, that through all these nine holes, it is releasing filth. In all the three nine holes, it's coming out. All the filth from inside. So, therefore, this is like a drain for the city. The drain, when it drains from the cities, you've got all your... what do they call the sewers, isn't it? Similarly, this city or this body, it has got nine holes, and it is through nine holes the sewer is coming out from inside. Is it not? So, and the person who is living inside this city is the Purusha. Who is living inside is Purusha. And this Purusha who is inside this body, he is very conscious of himself. Very conscious of himself. That I am the owner of this town or city where I am living. And he is very conscious of that. And that is why you will see in the Mundaka Upanishad, the same thing spoken in a different way. Says here, Manomaya prana sharira netha padishtidone hridayam sanidhaya tad vijnanena paripashyanti dhiraha ananda rupam amrutam yad vibhati. Mundaka Upanishad words about this. He says like this. That manomaya prana sharira netha, that pradishtido anne hridayam sanidhaya tad vijnanena paripashyanti dhiraha ananda rupam amrutam yat vibhadi. That this town or city where we are living inside, it is a wall has been built around that city with the mind. You have built a wall around that, and inside the city a lot of movement is happening. How? Through pranan. Pranan is making all the inside the city, all the traffic is through the pranan. And this filthy town has been created. And inside that, Krishna's gone and sat there. Krishna's gone and sat there. And what happened was, when Krishna went and sat there, he started identifying with this body. And when he identifies with the body, we call him as Jiva. When he's identifying with the body, he's called Jiva. And that Jiva, Krishna says here, sukadukhanam boktrute heturuchyate. In other words, when he is Jiva, he is experiencing all the miseries of the town, of the city where he is living. All the problems of that town, he is experiencing that. Sukham Dukham. He says here, Purushaha Sukadukhanam Boktrate Hetruchyate. So, when he is present there, he is experiencing as Jiva all the happiness and distress of that. And because he is in the Prakriti, Purusha has gone into Prakriti, that is why this has happened. And there is no escape route from this. Once you are inside the Prakriti, you have to accept happiness and distress. This is the underlying principle. That's what Krishna is going to stress in the next verse. You will come to that later. Krishna is saying here that if you analyze this verse, Karya Karana Kartrutru Hesu Prakriti Ruchyate. Cause and effect is happening in the Prakriti. Purusha sukadukhanam boktrate heturuchyade. Purusha is suffering because of this, what is happening in the Prakriti. Purusha is suffering. because of what's happening in the prakriti. That's our situation, isn't it? We have nothing to do with the body. And all the problems in the body is disturbing us. Why? That is what Krishna is explaining this. Purusha sugadukkhanam bhoktrate hetu ruchyate. Because as soon as Krishna entered into this town, what happened? He started identifying with the body. That is where everything went wrong. That's what Krishna is saying there. When Krishna entered into the body, identification started. Things went completely wrong. And therefore, he's saying here, Purusha sukadukkhanam bhoktrute hetu ruchyate. In reality, cause and effect is happening in the prakriti, not in Krishna. It's happening not in the Purusha. It's happening in the prakriti. But when Purusha got inside this prakriti, the body, in the town, and started identifying with the town, the misery started. The problems of prakriti got into Purusha. That's what he's saying here. Purusha sukadukkhanam boktrate hetu ruchyate. That boktrutvam is the hetu of that misery. Boktrutvam. Boktrutvam means what? Enjoying nature. Then enjoying nature. There began all the problems. And Krishna's point is, till you come out of the prakriti, there is no way you can do anything here. Remaining inside the prakriti and trying to find the solution is not possible. That's the main point Krishna is going to drive in the next verse. So, in the Puranam, how this thing is spoken in a different way. Let's try to see how Puranam presented. Because in Puranam, when it comes, it will look very emotional to us. It will look very emotional because Puranam is meant to create emotions inside us. Because when it's spoken in emotional way, it has effect on people, isn't it? So it is because of this, no matter once a Purusha is in the prakriti, he has to suffer. Even if it is Purusha, he has to suffer. No one can free himself from that. Even if it is Ramachandra or even if it is Krishna, he comes. If it is in the prakriti, misery will be there. In Valmiki Ramayanam, how this is spoken is very, very nice way. They have put it like this. In Valmiki's Ramayanam, Ramachandra got separated from Sita Devi, isn't it? And after separated from Sita Devi, Ramachandra is crying, feeling the separation from Sita Devi because of separation. So Bhoja was a famous poet like Kalidas and all of this. Bhoja says like this, that I don't have the strength to narrate that situation was Ramachandra was going through, because it was so difficult to explain that. Because he says here how Rama cried after Sita was separated. Somebody asked him, why don't you do that? He says, Valmiki has explained that in Valmiki's Ramayanam, he has spoken about that. So his answer was, Bhoja says, Valmiki was not born from the womb of a mother. Valmiki didn't take birth like we did, isn't it? In the other words, he was born from Valmigam. Valmigam means this anthill. From there Valmiki was born. Because he was born from Valmigam, from the anthill, he can do that. But I am born from a womb of a mother, so by my mind doesn't allow me to explain this separation what Ramchandra was feeling about after separated from Sita Devi. He mentions like this. So that is why Bhoja uses the word Kathora Chetaha. Bhoja was at the same time Vikramaditya's assembly. He says Kathora Chetaha. Valmiki Muniha Kathora Chetaha. He says that Kathora Cheta means one who has got a very hard heart. Valmiki is very hard-hearted. That's why he was able to say like that. But I was born from the womb of the mother and I can't say this, what Ramachandra experienced at that time. Because it's one of the most touching scenes in the Ramayana, when Sita Devi was kidnapped by Ravana and the situation what Ramachandra was going through. Ramachandra was suffering heavily. So, to say that Ramachandra cried a lot, like that, Bhoja explained that. And then when it came to Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami says, after talking about all these things, he had no problem in saying about Ramchandra, he says like that, he deserves it, he says. That's how he puts it about Ramchandra Subramarshi. Says that he deserves it, because he says, why? Because if you look at the words in the Bhagavadam, he says, Stri Sanginam Gadimidi Pradayam Chachara. If you get attached to man to woman, or woman to man, if you get attached, this will be the result. So, whether it is Ramchandra or Krishna doesn't matter, Subramarshi says. No matter who it is, if you get attached in this world, you will suffer. This is the principle. And in Ramchandra's case, he's got attached to Sita Devi. That is his fault. Sri Sanginam Gadimidi Pradayam Chachara, Bhagavadam says. He is a Sri Sangi. Sri Sangi means one who has attachment like that, in that way, to the woman. So, if he is attached like this, he should suffer like that. There is no mercy on this, as far as Sugasude Goswami is concerned. He is saying like that. So, his point is, even in the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes here, he will have to cry. He will have to cry, because that is the nature of Prakriti. That's what he is pointing at. This point what Krishna is saying here, through Ramayanam, it is presented to us in a different way. That you will cry if you get attached here to anybody. It will finally create distress in life. And that is why Krishna is saying here that in that verse, Purusha Prakritistohi Gunjade Prakritijan Gunan. Look at the next verse, how Krishna puts in that. How Krishna puts that thing, this message in a verse. Next verse. Purusha Prakritistohi Bhunte Prakritijan Gunan. Karanam Guna Sangasya Sadasadyoni Janmasu Purusha Prakritistohi Bhunte Prakriti Jangunan Karanam Guna Sangasya Sadasadyoni Janmasu. This is the answer. Purusha Prakritistohi Bhunte Prakriti Jan Gunan Karanam Gunasangasya Sadasadyoni Janmasu. This is the answer to all our problems. Every time when you are feeling problems in life, just think this. This is the reason behind it. Why the problem has come. Now, when you say Purusha Prakritistohi, don't misunderstand, it's only for men. It's also for women. Because when we say Purusha Prakriti here, it is not in terms of the gender spoken. It is in terms of the soul and the matter. That is what it is addressed to. Whether in the male body or the female body, if you are contacted with the body, you have a problem. The moment you have got a material body, whether it is a man or woman, you are in trouble. That is what Krishna is saying here. And this same message what Krishna has spoken in this one verse, in Ramayanam to explain that, they have to bring out all this history of Ramachandra's separation from Sita Devi and what happened to Ramachandra, and then the conclusion from the personalities like Subramarshi about that. Subramarshi is very blunt and forthright about it. He says, Purusha has come to contact with Prakriti, he has to suffer. Whether it is Ramachandra or Krishna doesn't matter, he says. But in the bhakti process, we won't say like that. We will say like that, oh, how sad it is. Oh, and you will feel all your emotions will come out, feeling sorry for Ramchandra, what has happened. And when Ramananda Sagar made that Ramayanam story, people were crying after seeing Ramchandra crying after Sita Devi's separation. But the answer to that question is this. Purusha Prakritistohi Bhunche Prakritijan Gunan. Karanam, what is the reason? Gunasangasya Sadasad Yoni Janmasu. Karanam, Krishna is saying the reason for that is Sat and Asat is joined together. And in different species it's going through. Karanam gunasasangasya sad asad yoni janmasu. In sad and asad forms it is moving on from one body to another body. So he is meant to suffer like that. Again, Krishna is stressing the importance of realizing the self. That till we leave this bodily identity, this problem is not going to be solved. Trying to fix this and fix that in this world is not the answer. If we think that we will all be together, happy together, it's not going to happen. That's the first warning. Krishna's point is, if you really want to come out of this misery once for all, the only solution is the self-realization. There's no other shortcut to that.
That's the point Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam has got to say to us. You can try to temporarily fix one thing or the other through various means. You can do various things in this world by spiritual life is so variegated, isn't it, in the modern world. So many opportunities in the spiritual life is offering. But this fundamental principle in spiritual life will never change. You can put it through in various forms into the world. But finally, Purusha Prakritistohi Bhungjai Prakritijan Gunan Karanam Gunasangasya Sadasad Yoni Janmasu. That is a simple statement. And that beginning, middle and end of the story. If this verse is understood, then there is no need for any kind of lamentation about anything. Misery will come. Misery has to be accepted in that way. Because why? We are in the Prakriti. What can be done? Karanam Gunasangasya. That Gunam has. Gunam is in the Prakriti, not in the Purusha. But because of the contact with the Prakriti, that Sadasad Yoni Janmasu. And it is the same reason of this contact with the Prakriti that is causing the cause of rebirth again. Again changing the body. It's happening due to that. That's what Krishna is pointing out there. How important that verse is, you can see. Prabhupada used to mention this. But often we won't capture that at the time. Karanam Gunasangasya Sadasad Yoni Janmasu. But the effect of Prakriti on the Purusha, you can see what happens. Prakriti is a very powerful thing, isn't it? Three modes of material nature. As soon as you are in contact with that, you have to accept material bodies one after the other. Till you get released from the grip of the three modes of nature, this will continue forever. It is not possible to remain within the modes of nature and be liberated. That's not possible. Till we free ourselves from the three modes of material nature, this will continue to put us through different bodies. It will keep on. Different modes of nature will generate different kinds of bodies and continuously go through the recycling process. So that's why Krishna is saying there. So Krishna's point is, Purusha Prakriti Sohi Bunjade Prakriti Jan Gunan. Krishna is saying, once the Purusha has become Prakritistan, Prakritistan means what? Prakritistan means he is stuck in the Prakriti. We are Dehastam. Krishna uses the word Dehastam, isn't it? Dehastobi na Dehasta. Similarly, Dehastam is Prakritistam. Prakritistam means another word Krishna is using, but in essence, it's the same thing. Dehastam. If you are a Dehastam, means you are Prakritistam. Krishna is saying here, Purusha Prakritistohi. Purusha Prakritistohi. Once you have become Prakritista or Dehasta, and if you have started identifying with that body, everything that is happening in that body, he will start seeing that he is experiencing it. You see? And once that has come inside, that I am experiencing it, then you have to accept all the happiness and all the distress of that Dehastha state. Prakriti. This is the principle. That Purusha Prakritistohi Bunjade Prakritijan Gunan. Bhungte Prakritijan Gunan. Krishna says he has to keep on taking it of the results of that Prakriti, what's happening inside the Prakriti. That means once an identity has happened with the body, then happiness and distress of the Prakriti, you have to accept both. Because the way to come out of this, Krishna is going to say that if you take the happiness from the Prakriti, dukkham will, distress will come along with that. Suppose, that is the way it works. It is a very funny situation, isn't it? That if you are saying that I only want the happiness from the Prakriti, I don't want the distress from the Prakriti. Prakriti won't allow that. Prakriti says, yes, you can have happiness, but Vivekananda used to speak in a different way. He used to say, Prakriti, how it acts. He says, it will give you a lot of miseries and then it will put a chocolate into your mouth and then give you a slap on the cheek again. That's the way Prakriti works. Prakriti's way operating is like that. It will not allow you any time to have a perfect state in any time. He said, they give the example that he gives you a slap and it will slap you very strongly on your face and then you will cry a lot. And after a long time, when you get slapped a lot, you'll get disgusted. Vairagyam will come at that time. That's the way it happens.
this whole householder life is all meant for this purpose only, nothing else. There's nothing much to achieve here. We think that householder life is such a glorious affair in this world, isn't it? Finally, to teach this lesson, that he keeps slapping a lot and finally you start, had enough of this. Now, again, no more desire once again to get involved in this. So that is why this is how vairagyam comes. Otherwise, how vairagyam will come? How will vairagyam come otherwise? It's such a such an attraction that people are thinking that that's the solution to all my problems of life. And finally, what happens is that itself becomes the whole problem of life. So when you cry, suddenly there will be a little happiness in the householder life, just like the chocolate. So Krishna will create something in the life, it will give you a little happiness. Either an increase in the wealth, or increase in the fame, or you moved to a bigger house, or bought an expensive car, or something like that will come in life. Through some ways it happens, you don't know how it happens. But it comes. Some happiness will come. And then you will say, it's not bad, this householder life. It's not too bad. Sometimes I felt depressed, that's okay, but I'm in a good mood now. But the new car has come, or the new house has come, or something else has happened in life. So this is the way this householder life tricks people. Everyone falls into this trap. It's not easy to escape from that. You'll realize all this when you get older, that it was not worthwhile all this misery that you had to go through. Initially, when people ask you, you say, oh, how are you? I'm fine, he says. After a while, you'll say, it's not too bad. It changes from fine, it changes to not too bad. And you get a little bit older, you'll start saying, I'm just surviving. Third step. And finally, you want to say goodbye to everything and go. When you see all the miseries of the world, what you go through at the end, when you start thinking that, is it all worth all these things? For what? Krishna is saying, Purusha Prakriti Sohi. If you are in the Prakriti, there is no way you can come out of it. Bhungte Prakriti Jan Gunan. You have to keep on eating that Prakriti's food. Prakriti is giving this food, sukham dukham, sukham dukham. Sometimes a lot of dukham and a little slap on the face and then you cry, give you a little sukham in the middle of that. That's the chocolate. So lot of distress. This is Prakriti's job it is. You can't blame her for that. It's her job, because only if it happens like this, we will turn our attention to Krishna. Otherwise, it will never happen. We will be very happy with Prakriti. We don't want any Krishna with us. More than happy to work with the Prakriti, isn't it? And that is why Krishna is saying here that this purpose of Prakriti, Prakriti's creation itself is only for this purpose, that she has to beat us so many times and to make us that vairagyam to create inside. Vairagyam to create inside. So, and the funny thing is that after a lot of distress, when Krishna gives a little happiness, we'll forget all that distress. What has happened before? You know, when you observe this, sometimes a death happened, a very close member of the family died. Few days mourning and a lot of unhappiness in life, everything happened so and so, how you're going to live next in the life, everything. You're thinking about all these things, future, what's going to be my state in life in this world. Went to the cremation ground, and after the cremation happened, everything departed, so everybody departed, came home. And you sat there not knowing what to do. Suddenly you switch on the telly and there was a nice program and you're completely forgotten, you're laughing with the program. What's going on in the television? This is us. This is us. Are we not like that? We all do the same thing. We'll make a big show of the happened distress, what we had happened. Why is it like that? Krishna explains that. Reason is, the self has nothing to do with happiness and distress. It's all on the surface only. Only on the periphery, everything is happening. That is why you can't take the happiness also seriously. You can't take the distress also seriously in this world. Because it has nothing to do with the self. It's nothing to do with the self. That is why Krishna says here that that the point Krishna is making here, that as soon as you see, go back and see, watch in front in the television some serial what you like to watch, you were watching regularly before, as soon as that episode comes, you have forgotten everything, all what has happened in the crematorium, or you may even forget the person who has left you. This is that extent we are serious about all these things, the show what we make in this world. So all the distress is gone, that's all. So Prakriti knows how to cheat us in this way, how to cheat us in this way. And Prakriti has got a lot of weapons in her hand to fool us in this way. So it will give you a lot of distress and then suddenly it will give you a little happiness. Suddenly a little happiness. But because of our attachment to the happiness, we are unable to give up the distress. Because of our attachment to the happiness. These things work like this. Only if you are enjoying the happiness, you will experience the distress. If you are not enjoying the happiness when she gives, you will not experience the distress of the family life. If you don't experience the enjoyment of the family life, that is the principle. That you can see the subtlety of that. That what is distress means? Distress means absence of that happiness, isn't it? Suppose you are not enjoying the happiness. When distress comes, it won't disturb. That's the way it works. Krishna mentions this in the second chapter itself. If you remember, we talked about that at that time. How to deal with this situation. Kamayesha, Krodhayesha, Rajoguna, Samalbhavam. In that verse, we have discussed that. So, what important point is here, Sukham and Dukham, happiness and distress will be there. And if you have managed to leave both happiness and distress, that means you have lost the attachment to both. And then you don't feel that. Distress won't give you trouble then. Like the happiness won't disturb you with it problem. But because this happiness is there in everything, a little bit, we come from somewhere in the life, and therefore the distress is causing the problem. This is the secret behind that. That is what Krishna is explaining in that verse. Purusha prakriti stohi bhungte prakriti jan gunan. Bhungte, as long as the bhungte is going, bhungte means you are continuously eating it. The result of the interaction in the prakriti, that means sukham and dukham, which is the interaction of the prakriti. If you take it, then you have to suffer. If you don't take it from the prakriti, then it will not have any effect. Karanam gunasangasya sadasad yoni janmasu. Because that is the karanam, the cause of that is, it will continuously transmigrate or recycle you through different bodies. Karanam gunasangasya sadasad yoni janmasu. Sadasad yoni janmasu. So, if you accept one happiness, then you have to accept distress as well. There is no choice there. It's not you buy one, get one free. Not like that. Sometimes they put a condition like that. That if you buy this, you have to buy that as well along with it. Something similar to that, isn't it? The business people know how to do it. They make all sorts of conditions when you want to buy something from them. So it's not buy one, get one free. It's the other way. That you buy this, you'll have to take that as well. Whether you like it or not. So that's what he's saying. Whether it is God himself comes, he has to go through this because that's the nature. Krishna is saying that's how it is created. So even great personalities, Mahatmas also, they also have to go through this. There's no choice there. So no matter who it is, if you get attached to one thing, either to Sukham or to Dukham, you have to suffer from the other one also. Normally, attachment is always to the happiness side, isn't it? So, Krishna's point is, if you get attached to the happiness, then you have to accept the distress. There is no choice there. Purusha sodukhanam boktrute hedruchade. Actually, this boktrutum, what Krishna mentions there? You see, in that verse, before, Krishna mentions there, isn't it? Purusha sukadukhanam, in the last verse, in the 20th verse, 21st verse, Purusha sukadukhanam boktrute hedruchade, he said. Boktrutvam. This Boktrutvam means I am the enjoyer, isn't it? So that Boktrutvam is Ajnanakritam. Ajnanakritam means it's coming from ignorance. It's coming from ignorance. Actually, there is no Boktrutvam. In reality, there is no Boktrutvam. Where is Boktrutvam? Boktrutvam is in the mind. Jiva experiences a Boktrutvam. In the self, Atma has no Boktrutvam. He is always free from the
భోక్తృత్వం ఈజ్ నాట్ ద డూయర్, ఈజ్ నాట్ ది ఎంజాయర్. సో కర్తృత్వ భోక్తృత్వం ఈజ్ కమింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ అజ్ఞానం ఆర్ అవిద్య. సో టిల్ దిస్ అజ్ఞానం అవిద్య గోస్ అవే ఫ్రమ్ ఇన్సైడ్, కర్తృత్వ భోక్తృత్వం విల్ బీ దేర్. అండ్ యాజ్ లాంగ్ యాజ్ కర్తృత్వ భోక్తృత్వం ఈజ్ దేర్, యు హ్యావ్ టు సఫర్. దిస్ ఈస్ ద ప్రిన్సిపల్ బిహైండ్ ఇట్, ప్రిన్సిపల్ బిహైండ్ ఇట్. సో కర్త భోక్త దాట్ అజ్ఞానం ఆర్ అవిద్య, ఇట్ హ్యాస్ బీన్ from time immemorial present inside us, isn't it? And because it has become our habit now, therefore while hearing Bhagavad Gita or Upanishads, when you hear that I am not the karta, I am not the bhokta, and even if you decide I am only a witness to everything what is happening, jnane vastu di abibalabdi vasana anadi esha karta bhokta ahamiti dranayapya samsara heduho ప్రత్యేక దృష్ట వివసది పాపనేయ ప్రయత్న ముక్తిం ప్రాహు ది మునియో వాసనాధానయమ్యే. యు ఉపనిషత్ సేస్ లైక్ దిస్ దట్ పూర్వ వాసన, దట్ మీన్స్ ది వాసనాస్ ఫ్రమ్ ప్రీవియస్ లైఫ్ టైమ్స్ వాట్ ఇట్ హెస్ కమ్, ఈవన్ ఇఫ్ యు హ్యావ్ హెర్డ్ ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ వాట్ కృష్ణ హెస్ స్పోకన్ ఇన్ దిస్ వాట్ యు హ్యావ్ హెర్డ్ టుడే దీస్ ఫ్యూ వర్సెస్ ఎస్పెషలీ అబౌట్ ది ప్రకృతి అండ్ పురుష, కర్తృత్వం అండ్ భోక్తృత్వం, Sukham and Dukham, and also what Krishna mentions that due to contact with Prakriti, Purusha is suffering. All these things, although you may have heard all these things, due to the effect of Purva Vasana inside, even if you have heard all these things in Salsangam, and as soon as you go out again, the Karta Bhokta will come back inside. Karta Bhokta will come back inside. So the only way to come out of this is, Krishna is saying here through Jnana Vicharam, again and again, always stressing this point inside, and Mananam, and also that experience of the Samadhi state, that freedom from this, you have to win over this. There is no other way. There is no shortcut in all these things. That's the point Krishna is saying here. That winning over means winning over the Purva Vasana, what is inside us. That Purva Vasana is dictating this to us. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. So that means you have to win, fight against that Purva Vasana inside, isn't it? And I am not a Karta, I am not a Bhokta. What does that mean? I am Krishna's a tool in Krishna's hands. This concept has to come strongly inside. Now I am thinking I am Karta, I am Bhokta, isn't it? If when that changes, Krishna is a Karta, Krishna is a Bhokta, then the problem is gone. So it has to come like that. It has to happen that way. That is what that winning over the Vasana means. Winning over the Vasana means Krishna is the Karta and Krishna is the Bhokta. Same thing what we are talking about. Dravyadvaidam, Bhavadvaidam, Kriyadvaidam. It's the same thing. Karta change, shifting that at the moment without anybody telling us, we are able to think I am the doer and I am the enjoyer, isn't it? I am the Karta, I am the Bhokta. I am telling others also, I have done this, I have done that, I got this, I got that. Why am I able to say that? Because it's very clearly embedded inside me that I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. Now, when we lose that, what will happen is Karta Bhokta goes away. It becomes Krishna is the Karta and Krishna is the Bhokta. And this is why, you remember, in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the same thing Krishna calls a person who is in Karta Bhokta is a Mota, he says. Is it not? Remember in the Bhagavad Gita famous verse. What is that? What's that verse in the Bhagavad Gita? In the third or fourth chapter, Krishna is saying there that the I'll tell you sometimes. It is in the Bhagavatam also. The same verse is repeated in the Bhagavatam. Wait 1 second. No. This is purely about Prakriti and Karta and Bhokta. Krishna is saying that కర్తాస్మిని నిబద్ధ్యతే ఇన్ ద భాగవతం. అహం కర్త, అహం భోక్త. ప్రకృతే క్రియమాణాని గుణైకర్మాణి సర్వశ అహంకార విమూఢాత్మా కర్తాహం ఇది మన్యతే. వెన్ వి రీడ్ దట్ వర్డ్స్, ప్రకృతే క్రియమాణాని గుణైకర్మాణి సర్వశ అహంకార విమూఢాత్మా కర్తాహం ఇది మన్యతే. దట్స్ వాట్ దట్ వర్డ్స్ ఇస్ రిఫరింగ్ టు. అండ్ ద సేమ్ థింగ్ కమ్స్ ఇన్ ద కవిలోపదేశం ఆల్సో ఇన్ ద థర్డ్ క్యాంటో ఇన్ ది భాగవతం. కపిల మహర్షి సేస్ ద సేమ్ టు దేవహూతి దేవి. యూ విల్ సీ ద సేమ్ వర్డ్స్ రిపీటెడ్ దేర్. సో ప్రకృతే క్రియమాణాని గుణైకర్మాణి సర్వశ అహంకార విమూఢాత్మా కర్తాహం ఇది మన్యతే. దట్ ఈస్ వై కృష్ణ ఇస్ సేయింగ్ దేర్ దట్ డ్యూ టు కాంటాక్ట్ విత్ ద ప్రకృతి దిస్ హెస్ హ్యాపెండ్ అండ్ డ్యూ టు యువర్ ఫాల్స్ ఐడెంటిఫికేషన్ విత్ ద బాడీ దట్ యు ఆర్ థింకింగ్ దట్ యు ఆర్ ద డూయర్. So therefore Krishna says that is, and that thinking that I am the doer is ahankaram, is ahankaram. Krishna says ahankaram it is. Vedavyasa calls it as ahankara vimudhalma. Because he is ahankaram inside, he is mudha. Ahankara vimudhalma kartaham iti manyate. Ahankara vimudhalma kartaham iti manyate. ప్రకృతే క్రియమాణాని గుణైకర్మాణి సర్వశ అహంకార విమూఢాత్మా కర్తాహం ఇతి మన్యతే. సో సో 327 ప్రకృతే క్రియమాణాని గుణైకర్మాణి సర్వశ అహంకార విమూఢాత్మా కర్తాహం ఇతి మన్యతే. ఇఫ్ యూ లుక్ అట్ దట్ వర్డ్స్ యూ కెన్ సీ ద డెప్త్ ఆఫ్ బిహైండ్ ఇట్ ఇసన్ ఇట్ యూ కెన్ సీ ద డెప్త్ బిహైండ్ ఇట్ వి సే దట్ we say we have escaped from here. We cannot escape from here easily till all these things are cleared first. The kartrutva bhoktutvam has to go. When will that go? When will that go? When all these things are like this. We are the prakriti, in order to get that into our head, that get rid of this kartrutva bhoktutvam from inside, she has to beat us a lot, otherwise it won't go. And that beating process is what we call it as distress, the beating process. Prakriti has to keep beating us, beaten, finally we will accept it, that I'm nothing. That realization will come, otherwise it won't come, it's not possible. And that is why they say that this is the reason why you say that to make progress in spiritual life, distress is necessary. For this reason only. Otherwise it won't happen. You can see in Bhagavatam also it's there, in Narayanam also it mentioned so many places, that distress turns our, creates this vairagyam, and vairagyam means comes in this way. Kartrutva bhoktrutvam will go from inside. Kartrutva bhoktrutvam will go from inside. That is the after effect of that vairagyam inside. So here, so till this realization comes, we have to keep fighting against our vasanas inside. So even happiness and distress will come one after the other, and happiness will give you sukham will give you happiness. And distress will keep giving you distress. And what will happen is, when sukham comes or happiness comes, I will desire for that to happen again. And when I desire for the happiness to come again, that is called ragam. Is it not? Krishna mentions ragam nicely in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Ragadvesha vimuktaistu. Actually, this sukham, when you start getting some sukham from life, ragam will develop. When you get distress from life, dvesham will develop inside. It's the other thing also. So ragam will come. So when distress comes, I will work very hard to get rid of that distress from inside. Is it not? So when that distress goes away, and I will have a fear, will that come again, that distress? That fear will come back. Is it not? This is all daily affair in our life. Is it not?
your body gets sick and somehow some medicine tablets you have taken and temporarily you got relief from that. And then you start thinking, if I stop this medicine, will it come back? You give it a trial for 1 or 2 days, and if it does come back, again you are in trouble. So you keep taking the medicine continuously after that. So, so if you do not have that, if you don't insist that it should not come back again, that's also necessary. You have to have first thing this understanding that when the distress comes, this is all surrender. When Krishna is talking about surrender, this is what it all means. That when distress comes, that you should not insist that it should go away. If it goes away, you should not have the fear that it's going to come back again. And you should not insist that it should not come back again. You can think, reflect all these things at your own convenience. Only one thing is that the main issue in our life is this, that when you explain all these things, people say, I don't want to hear all these things. Nobody wants to hear all these things, isn't it? Because it's not very easy to hear all these things, because it's our life in this world. Everyday life is this what we are talking about. And they don't want to hear that. I've come to hear something nice to forget about everything. And you are reminding me about my own life. It's not very pleasant, isn't it? So people don't want to hear, and they'll say, oh, I don't want to hear all this Vedanta message. This is all for you. But we've got a much nicer progress, always chanting and dancing and going back to spiritual world. Every step is a dance. And every is a this is a song. Why, when I have such a nice process, why should I worry about all these things? This is our approach. We want to make everything enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. Isn't it? It's not possible in spiritual life like that to enjoy. But these things is what will change us, understanding these things. That if you keep insisting that the when happiness comes, the danger is that attachment will develop. That I want that again, isn't it? And when distress comes, I insist that it should leave me early, as early as possible. And when it leaves me, I have the fear, will that come back again? And I also insist that it should not come back again. All these things will happen. Natural way it happens in every one of us, is it not? When we get distressed, this is what happens, that I don't want the distress to come, the fear it will come back again. If it goes away, whether it will come back again. And, or in other words, that I keep insisting that it should not come back again. So, the main thing is that without knowing these things, how are we going to escape from this mess? How are we going to escape from this mess without knowing all these things? But instead of understanding these things, instead of allowing to go through these things, all the time keeping this dead matter, which is called this body, which is jadam, and keep on looking after this body and maintaining these eyes, the mind, the intelligence, all these things, we are engaging in so many other activities and worked whole life to make money for in this world, and finally created a lot of wealth in this world, and feeling some happiness from that. I've generated so much wealth in this life, and feeling, and at the same time, finally, a lot of illnesses has come into the body, and so many problems in the mind, and finally, the false ego operating very strongly inside, and a lot of distress, and finally, leaving this body in that state. That's what our life is always here, isn't it? Instead of taking notice of all these things what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, instead worked all life, created a lot of wealth, accumulated a lot of wealth, and feeling happiness from all that wealth, and in that process of making money, we have abused our body, mind, intelligence, everything considerably, and at the same time, because of the way the body has been abused in our process of maintaining or accumulating wealth, it creates a lot of diseases in the body as well. You can see this happening all the time. Big business people and many big executives in big companies, how sick they are. They are not all healthy because of their absorption in the work, isn't it? So you have abused your body to such an extent that to make the wealth. And finally, last minute, what is happening? Only the wealth remains there, and your body is gone completely useless, and you have to leave this world in a fully disturbed state, in distress, and leave the body and go from here. So that is why Krishna is saying this verse is so important, that our contact, how careful we have to be while in contact with the matter, while in contact with the matter. So rishis who knows this science very well, out of their infinite compassion for us, they have given us this understanding of life in the proper way, how to live in this world. So in order to come to this level of living in a world in this state, we got to elevate ourselves to a large degree. In other words, a lot of bhakti, a lot of shraddha is necessary to come to this understanding. Without bhakti and shraddha, this will not happen. That is why, and sannyasam is not required. Sannyasam and all is secondary thing. Sannyasam is not the thing. Sannyasam, even if you take sannyasam also, it's not going to solve the problem. Problem is this. Whichever way, wherever Krishna has put us in this world, in whichever state we are in, householder, brahmachari, whatever it is, doesn't matter. Or is a sannyasi, whatever it may be. Wherever Krishna has put us in that state, in that state to remain there and developing this knowledge is more important. Developing this understanding in life is more important than changing to sannyasam, changing to brahmachari or changing to grihastha. If we do not do like that, otherwise, if it is only spoken for others' benefit, it will simply become a performance. It will simply become a performance. And it is just a display or like a musical concert. But if you hear these things, what Krishna has spoken, and if you have utilized it in your own life and absorbed it in properly in your experience, if you, it is, comes to you, then it will do miracle in life. That is the capacity of these verses. All these verses, what we are talking about, this is Bhagavad Gita samskaram. Bhagavad Gita's culture is all this, these verses. If these verses get in, and if you apply it in everyday life, and you are able to change your way of thinking and way of living in this world based upon these verses, then it will have a miraculous effect on one's life. And that is what is wanted. That is what Krishna is expecting from us. Not that I study all these verses, remembering them, memorize them and preach to others, and I am suffering, going and suffering. No, that is no use. What's the point, benefit from that? Krishna's point is that that this will be of no use to you if you do that. It is only beneficial if it is taken seriously on board and in daily life it is applied. Otherwise, this whole 13th chapter will be simply become a fairy tale. It is no use. It's no use at all. So, therefore, that when a person who is very, very sick, which will happen very soon to every one of us, in one way or the other, it is going to come. And this fighting against illness also is not going to win. We know that the body will come, Prakriti, she is Prakriti, body is Prakriti. So Prakriti, what Prakriti has decided about this body, you don't know. What decision has been made? It will act its own way. But that just like a person, sometimes when you get very sick, there are certain medicines which will do some wonder. Similarly, if you accept this like that, like a wonder in this world, this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, and then you will escape, I will also escape from this. There is no other way to escape from here. That is a simple thing. That is why these verses are important. To take this seriously, these verses, what Krishna has spoken, and to see the meaning and purport and the depth of those verses, and in life, throughout our life, if we keep on accepting that understanding what Krishna has given in these verses and make it our own realization, when distress comes and happiness comes, Krishna is saying to us, when you are desiring for happiness to come, remember that attachment will develop from there. Therefore, not to desire for happiness. And if we have succeeded in that, Krishna is saying when distress comes, it will not disturb you. You cannot accept only one on its own. You have to accept both. So if you don't accept one, you don't accept the other either. But if you accept one, you have to accept the other as well. Because that's the way it works, this happiness and distress. If you know the secret of this happiness, happiness and distress has nothing to do with the self. It's all to do with the mind and the false ego. That's where it's operating. Krishna's point is that he's saying here that kaya karana kartrutve hetu pragati ruchyate purusha sukadukhanam bhoktrutve hetu ruchyate. If you understand that verse properly, he's saying there, in Prakriti, these things, Karya Karanam is happening. Which one? Cause and effect is happening in the Karya Karanam is in the Prakriti. Karya Karana Kartrutve, Hedu Prakriti Ruchyate. Prakriti is the cause of that. Now, if you transmit that into Purusha, because how does it get transmitted? Due to identification. If Purusha identifies with the body, then Purusha, Sukadukhanam, Hedu, Bhoktrutve, Hedu Ruchyate. The moment Purusha decides to have the Bhoktrutvam, enjoying nature of the Prakriti, then Bhoktrutva Hetu Ruchyate. Bhoktrutvam will start, and the result of Bhoktrutvam is Sukham Dukham will come. That is a simple principle. Krishna has put it in a very plain and a very nice way. How Prakriti works, how Purusha works. So far, first, in this chapter, Krishna spoke about Kshetram and Kshetrajnan. That Kshetram, Kshetrajnan is here again discussing as Prakriti and Purusha. It's not different. It's the same Kshetra, Kshetrajnan is coming as Prakriti and Purusha. When we study Bhagavad Gita, we have to be so conscious of the depth of these verses and the import of those verses in our life in this world. We should not think that it's only for preaching. It's not for preaching. It is for direct experience in life when we go through distress. Or when happiness comes, both times, these verses should come inside and tell us whether it's happiness or distress, it's a warning there that this will be the result. This will be the result. There are many, many Mahatmas who had taken these verses so seriously that when great happiness came in their life, it didn't have any effect. Not only that, when great distress came in their life, it didn't disturb them because of this. Because of this understanding of this verse, because they understood how it works. If you know how it operates, then you can do something about it, isn't it? But otherwise, normally what happens? When some happiness comes, what do? We jump up and down. Isn't it? Oh, everything is wonderful in this world. When distress comes, what do? Oh, how hellish it is. Everything has gone so bad. Both are wrong, actually. Krishna is saying to us, it's due to Prakriti that this is happening. The impact is in the Prakriti, not in the Purusha. But Purusha's identification is causing the problem of the Prakriti is experienced inside. Nothing to do with the self yet. That's the point Krishna is making there. So, this problem what we have, happiness and distress, you have to think that it's a disease which cannot be cured. You know, there are chronic illness. That way you have to treat your disease. Because it is like that. Is it not? This problem of identification with the body is a chronic illness. What we have got. So, you have to treat it with that understanding. That means 24 hours alert about it. All lifetime. That's the only way to come out of this. Otherwise, there is no possibility. So, so that's the way to drink Bhagavad Gita. The happiness, the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, kinchit atita, ganga jalalepa, kanileva, kanigapita. Even a very, very minute part of Bhagavad Gita, if that goes inside, and if it does something, it will have a tremendous effect inside. That's why when we study Bhagavad Gita, you have to study in this way. Not think that, oh, on a Gita Jayanti day, I will honor the Bhagavad Gita, brought some flowers and poured to the Bhagavad Gita and put it nicely in the shelf and worshipped and recited all the 700 verses. That's all nice. That's all very external. But internally, realizing Bhagavad Gita means like this. These verses can change a person's life completely. And this is how all Mahatmas are born in this world, by this knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? It has changed so many people who have taken this. All of them, all the great sages, great devotees, great jnanis, if you go and closely observe them, you will see these verses working in their life. That's what you find there. Whether it is great devotees or great jnanis, what do you see there? These verses in practice in their life. That's what it is. That's what it is. So, if we want to escape
from this misery situation. And if we, in that understanding, if you study Bhagavad Gita and if you want to realize the truth, before the body drops away, Krishna says there, Sarvado Bhadram, that auspicious state one has to reach. That is why in that second chapter, if you remember, that why did Krishna say, look at that verse itself, 72nd verse in the second chapter. Krishna says there, that's I think it was the last verse. Esham Brahmi Stidi Partha Nainam Prapya Vimukhyati Stitvasyam Andakalebi Brahma Nirvana Mruchyati. Krishna says, this is the way of the spiritual life or godly life, after attaining which a man is not bewildered, being so situated even at the hour of death. That means at least before you die, it should happen. And one can enter into the kingdom of God. That means if it hasn't happened before death, what will happen after death can't be guaranteed. This is the point. We should not depend too much on the world after death. Often our thinking is that I'm doing everything what I've been told and after death I will go. There is no guarantee. Krishna is mentioning here, at least before death it should happen. This is Krishna's words. That before death, if it hasn't happened, the chances are it will happen after death is very little. It's very easy to understand that principle, isn't it? If it has not happened before death, to think that it is all going to happen after death is very, very remote. Somebody may come and tell you that, oh, he has gone back home, back to Godhead. If that is sufficient, then it's okay. But you may not have gone back to Godhead, you may have gone somewhere else. That's all. Nobody can ask anything, question then, isn't it? Something unknown factor it is. So what do you do? But one who has gone back, he will know from here itself before he goes back that he is going back. He doesn't have to worry about it later. So that is why Krishna is saying here, Bhagavad Gita's, why Bhagavad Gita is so popular? What is Bhagavad Gita's beauty? Bhagavad Gita is the only scripture in the world who offers you a solution right here, now in this body, not after death. So many religions in this world, they are all telling you, after death you will go to the heaven, or after death you will have such a lovely time there. So many facilities to... Okay, if you read the leaflet, it's fine. The offer is very good. On the leaflet, it looks good. But in reality, is that true? That's the question. Krishna is saying here, no. Right now, in this world, Esham Brahmi Siddhi Partha, Krishna is saying, Brahma Nirvana Mruchyati. Here it should happen now. Otherwise, no guarantee what will happen after that. That's the principle. So, Krede Sasya Yamena Charcham. So, in the Bhajagovindam prayers, Acharya says like this, about such a person, Yamadharma Raja even won't discuss. His file will not be even taken out to discuss. A person who has realized here, Yama cannot even touch him. Yama won't even discuss about him. Otherwise, Mrityoho Samrityam Apnodi. Yama is saying here. In the Kathopanishad, there is a statement. Then otherwise, Mrityoho Mrityu Apnodi. There's a verse in the Kathopanishad, somewhere in the later. It says, Mrityoho Mrityu Apnodi. He'll keep on coming back. He'll keep coming back again and again. And what Kathopanishad says is, he has purchased a season ticket, that person. Season ticket. Like we have monthly season ticket and yearly season ticket, isn't it? So his business is that coming, going. And one day it seems that Yama will get bored with us, seeing us again and again coming back. So he says that, how many times have I seen this party coming? So many times. And one day even Yama will start thinking, I'm fed up of seeing him. So many times he has come and gone. So mainly what Krishna is saying here is that because of this suffering due to happiness and distress, experience of that is due to the attachment with the prakriti. Asakti. Asakti means attachment to the prakriti. So that is why aparaprakriti and paraprakriti Krishna has spoken in the 7th chapter. Isn't it? So this attachment is in the Abhara Prakriti. Have you noticed? Attachment is always in the Abhara Prakriti. Abhara Prakriti means what? The senses, world of senses, isn't it? Tasting, touching, smelling, seeing, hearing, all these things. Also, Abhara Prakriti, Krishna has defined in a nice way in the Bhagavad Gita. What did he say? Bhumirapanalo vayu khammano buddhirevacha abareidhime bhinna prakriti ashtatha. Ashtatha prakriti it is called. What does that mean? Earth, water, air, ether, fire. Five material elements. Mind, intelligence and false ego. 5 plus 3, 8. These 8 things is Abhara Prakriti. Asakti or attachment is in the Abhara Prakriti. Is in the Abhara Prakriti. So, if when we say this, people start thinking, without these 8 things, what else are we doing here? This question will come, isn't it? Generally, we are only busy with Abhara Prakriti, isn't it? So, Krishna is saying that except this, outside this Abhara Prakriti, there is another thing called Para Prakriti. Krishna is saying to us, as long as you are busy with this Abhara Prakriti, you will get attached somewhere. You will get attached there. So, Bhagavad Gita is saying here, what is that Prakriti? Apareyam iti svanyam prakritim vidhime param jivabhudam mahabaho yedam dharyade jagat. The nature of that Abhara Prakriti is that outside this Para Prakriti is, outside this Abhara Prakriti, there is someone who is a witness to everything. Who is a witness to everything and due to whose presence this Abhara Prakriti is functioning. Due to the presence of Para Prakriti, only this Abhara Prakriti is functioning, isn't it? So that is what Krishna is saying here. Jiva Bhudam Mahabaho Yedam Dharyade Jagat. This jagat or creation is sustained by Jiva Bhudam. Jiva Bhudam Mahabaho Edam Dhairide Jagat. Because of the presence of Jiva that you are experiencing the presence of this Abhara Prakriti here. So turning our attention towards that or Shraddha towards that is a way to escape from here. And that attention towards whom? That is what Krishna calls here as Purusha. So, in that is what Krishna addressed here as Purusha. And all these things are not to be spoken. These are all to be reflected upon very seriously. When you hear Krishna is telling us that Purusha Prakritistohi Bunjade Bunjan Prakritijan Gunan Karanam Gunasangasya Sadasad Yoni Janmasu. Just take one of this one verse and analyze it yourself and see the impact of that. This one verse. Krishna's point is that it is like a jewel in the Bhagavad Gita. These verses are like the jewels. It is jewels that Krishna is throwing at us. That why misery has come? Krishna is explaining that because Prakriti has got this problem, it has got Sukham and Dukham. You are actually Purusha. You are actually Purusha. But when you have started making contact with the Prakriti, this Sukham and Dukham you started experiencing. Why? Because of identification. Identification with the Prakriti. Actually, you are not Prakriti, you are Purusha. This is a big knowledge, isn't it? You are not Prakriti, you are Purusha. Which scripture in the world is telling you these things? Who will tell you these things? The Rishis are so compassionate telling us that Purusha cannot suffer. Purusha cannot experience the happiness and distress of Prakriti. This is the what they have found out. How did they find this out? How did they know that Purusha cannot experience the miseries of Prakriti? In Prakriti, there is happiness and distress. In Purusha, there is no happiness, there is no distress. But when you identify with Prakriti, the problems of Prakriti will catch you. It will get you. You can't escape from that. So then what are the problems of Prakriti? Problems of Prakriti is this. Sugham, Dukham. Happiness, distress. And when happiness comes, you feel happy. When distress comes, you feel miserable. And they found out, the Rishis also found out, the way to escape from this is that don't take only one. If you take one, you have to take both. So don't take any of them. That's the way to escape from that. That's their solution to the problem. That you are suffering because you are accepting one and you are rejecting the other. they found out the interaction between sukham and dukham. Happiness and distress, they have found out. What was that? They understood that you are having, experiencing this distress only because you are choosing there that you want sukham. Sukham means attachment, ragam. Ragam comes. And once it has become strong inside, I want sukham, and ragam has developed due to that, automatically you don't want the dukham and you will have dvesham towards the other things, which is creating problem. So this relationship between sukham and dukham, ragam and dvesham, if one always keeps in their mind or in their thoughts, you can see that when sukham comes, a detachment from there. And if that is the attitude, when distress comes also, you will have the same detachment from the dukkham. As much as you feel the detachment from sukham, you will feel the same detachment from dukkham also. Krishna is saying, if that situation has happened, then that person is not under the control of prakriti anymore. Purusha prakriti sohi, only when bhunte prakriti jan gunan, only if you are eating the bhunte, bhunte means if you are consuming the happiness and distress of the prakriti, you have to suffer. Otherwise, you don't have to suffer. And if you have come out of that prakriti, karanam gunasangasya sadasadyoni janmasu. That karanam gunasangasya, it is only because of the three modes of material nature that this is happening. And this is why you will notice, as soon as this chapter is over, if this is the 13th chapter, isn't it? This is the 13th chapter. What is the next topic? Three modes of material nature. This is the reason. See how Krishna introduces here itself, the next chapter introduction he has put here in this verse. Bhagavad Gita is like that. It's a very big science that is. The next chapter's introduction is here in this verse. See that? Because the rishis who have, in the three modes of material nature, which we are going to discuss in the next chapter, the introduction is this. Why we should escape from the modes of nature? Because this is how modes of nature is catching us. That karanam gunasangasya sadasadyoni janmasu. Three gunams, sangam has happened. Sangam means attachment. With the three gunam, we have sangam happen. Once the sangam has happened, there is no choice except to keep coming back. Sadasad yoni janmasu. In good species and in the bad species. Sadasad yoni means, sadasad yoni is the higher species. Asad yoni is the lower species. Lower species means like the plants, creepers, animals and all that. Higher species means demigods and these things like that. Vidyadharas and Gandharvas and all that. The one, we are the ones in the middle, in between. So both sad and asad is this one. But sad yoni means higher species, lower species is the asad yoni. So Krishna is saying, karanam gunasangasya sadasad yoni janmasu. If you have, by any reason, you have under the grip of these three modes of material nature, you have no choice except to keep revolving in this sad yoni, asad yoni, sad yoni, asad yoni, sad yoni, asad yoni. There is no escape from that. This is the science. And here, there will be no concession. You may be initiated, not initiated. You may be guru, not guru. You may be a yogi, not yogi. No matter what it is, here, no exception. Karanam gunasangasya sadasadyoni janmasu. That is the simple principle. And it doesn't matter. Sannyasi, grihastha, brahmachari, doesn't matter. It's all the same. This rule applies. There's no escape from that. So, we must understand spiritual life in this way. It is not so important as much as Krishna is stressing here. Whether you are a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastham, that is according to vasana, prakriti has put you in a particular state. But that itself is not the end of the story. End of the story is when this has become your realization in life, then it means something. Otherwise, what does it mean? Nothing. Change the dress to saffron, or took a danda in the hand, or took the brahmachari life. What does it matter? These things are what matters, not the dress. This is what matters. And that is where the subtlety of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is not interested in the external things. Krishna's point is, the recycling business is going on with us all the time. We have to stop this recycling. Isn't it? We are continuously getting recycled. Today this body, tomorrow another body, another body, another body, goes on like this. How to stop this recycle business? That is the answer. Karanam gunasangasya purusha prakritisto hi bhunte prakritijan gunan. Karanam gunasangasya sadasudhyoni janmasu. That one verse answers all the questions. And it is from this verse that Krishna begins the next chapter also. That having said about the three modes of material nature, gunam, 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 Krishna keeps repeating that, isn't it? Pratijan gunan. So gunam, what is this gunam? That is the whole discussion in the next chapter. So if we don't take this seriously, this message in this chapter very seriously, so everything is like that. Then Purusha, Krishna says, Purusha's nature, if you accept this knowledge, you will escape. You will escape if you accept this. Anyone, doesn't matter who it is, if you accept this knowledge, one day you will escape from here. Not only yourself, I will also escape. Because that such a person who accepting this in life, for him, time cannot have any effect on him. So in that seventh chapter, when we discussed Paraprakriti and Aparaprakriti, you will understand it better when you study this 13th chapter. It's a very close link between the 7th and the 13th chapter. So that Paraprakriti experience is what Krishna is saying here. Experience of that Paraprakriti. There, Krishna, in the 7th chapter, Krishna spoke about Paraprakriti and Aparaprakriti. That's how Krishna puts it. That Paraprakriti experience is what Krishna is saying here. Purusha Prakritistohi Bhungte Prakritijan Gunan Karanam Gunasangasya Sadasadyoni Janmasu. Now here, there also Krishna said that within us all the time, that awareness all the time, aham, 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 isn't it? All the time inside Antaryami is releasing that message to us, and that is our Paraprakriti. Paraprakriti is that message. And and that aham aham inside, as we mentioned before, that is the only tangible proof we have of Krishna's existence inside us. And that has to be taken very seriously, not to be ignored. This Antaryami inside, it's the only proof what we have of our existence of Krishna. Other things are, for example, mind, body, intelligence, ego, or all the other sushma vasanas, that is not what we are. This is where the problem comes. We identify with all these other things. And that is when we start seeing away from all these things, that means separated from the body, mind, intelligence, ego, and all the other vasanas, or all the emotions, everything, and leaving behind them all, and simply getting focused on that awareness or aham inside. And that is what Krishna says, Chidananda Rupam Shivoham Shivoham. That Chidananda state is what Krishna is saying here. So, it's 4 o'clock, I think. So, we'll have a short break. We'll continue. Break. Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Chedo Darpanam Arjanam Vamaha Davagni Nirvapanam Shreya Kaitava Chandriga Vidaranam Vidyavadhu Jeevanam Anandam Buddhivardhanam Pratipadam Purnamrada Swadhanam Sarvapna Subhanam Param Vijayade Shri Krishna Sangirtanam Namna Magari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti Tatrapida Nimida Smaranena Kalam Yeda Drisham Dabakriba Bhagavan Mamabi Durdeva Midrishamiha Janina Nuraga Tranara Bishuni Jena Tarora Bisahishtuna അമാനിനാമാനദേന കീർത്തനീയ സദാഹരി നധനം നജനം നസുന്ദരീം കവിതാം വാ ജഗദീശ കാമയേ മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനീശ്വരേ ഭവദാദ് ഭക്തിഹൈതുകിത്വയീം ഐ നന്ദനുജ കിങ്കരം പതിതാമാം ഷമേ ഭവാംബുദോ കൃപയാ തവ പാദ പങ്കജ സ്ഥിത ധൂളി സദൃശം വിചിന്തയാം നയനം ഗലദ ശ്രുധാരയാ വദനം ഗദ്ഗദ രുദ്ധയാ ഗിര പുളകേർ നിജിതം കഥാവഭൂ തവ നാമ ഗ്രഹണേ ഭവിഷ്യതി യുഗായുധം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായുധം ശൂന്യായുധം ജഗൽ സർവം ഗോവിന്ദ വിരഹേണ മേ ആശ്ലിഷ്യ വാ പാദരദാം ഭിനഷ്ടു മാം അദർശനം മർമഹദാം കരോതു വാ യഥാ തഥാ വാ വിധദാതു ലംബണോ മത്പ്രാണനാഥാസ്തു നയേവ നാപരാം. സോ കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് സേയിങ് ഹിയർ ഇൻ ദിസ് വേഴ്സ് പ്രകൃതിം പുരുഷം ചൈവ വിദ്യാനാദി വിദ്യാനാദി ഉപാവഭി വികാരാംശ ഗുണാംശൈവ വിധി പ്രകൃതി സംഭവാൻ. വി ഹാവ് സീൻ ദാറ്റ് വേഴ്സ് ഇസ്നേ. ദെൻ കൃഷ്ണ മെൻഷൻസ് കാര്യകാരണ കർത്തൃത്വേ ഹേതു പ്രകൃതി ഉച്യതേ പുരുഷ സുഖദുക്താനാം ഭോക്തൃത്വേ ഹേതു ഉച്യതേ. ദാറ്റ്സ് ദ വേഴ്സ് വി ആർ ഡിസ്കസിംഗ് നൗ. കാര്യകാരണ കർത്തൃത്വേ ഹേതു പ്രകൃതി ഉച്യതേ പുരുഷ സുഖദുക്താനാം ഭോക്തൃത്വേ ഹേതു ഉച്യതേ. So here we have seen that this awareness inside of aham consciousness inside, and that is paraprakriti, that is the paraprakriti. Body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, all this is aparaprakriti, isn't it? All that is aparaprakriti, including all our subtle vasanas inside, even that is aparaprakriti, isn't it? So, that knowing that, now, if you are Prakritisthan, Krishna says Prakritistha, the word Dehastha, like that Krishna uses the word Prakritistha. So, once you are Prakritistha, Krishna saying, Sukham, Dukham, happiness and distress, and that will continue. This process of experiencing happiness, distress will continue forever if you are Prakritistha. Or if you are Dehastha. Dehastha or Prakritistha means that you have to have this happiness and distress. That program will continue. Because it's a long time since we have started this business of happiness and distress. Happiness and distress. Just like you can imagine, suppose we take birth again, what will we do? What all we will do? We'll do the same thing. Somebody will take us to the nursery class or to the kindergarten or wherever it is. And then you'll go to school and you have to study all these things what you are studying now more, and then you have to study this thing called computer also, because it will be very much there part of the life, and then getting a work or doing business or getting married, having children. If you imagine all these things what you have to go through, it should give you enough vairagyam to get out of this. If it's not creating vairagyam, there is something wrong with us. That's what it means. That you just have to think about the school, that's enough, not to take birth again. Just going to school, if you think about that, that is enough not to take birth again, isn't it? That is why when in that Bhajagovindam prayers, the last words, Punarabhi Jananam, Punarabhi Maranam, Punarabhi Janani Jadare Shayanam, Idi Samsare Bahudustare Krupaya Pare Pahi Murare. Murari asking Krishna only for this one benediction. Don't put me through this cycle again and again and again. That is why Punarabhi Jananam, Punarabhi Maranam, Punarabhi Janani Jadare Shayanam. This cycle is unbearable. This changing body, that cycle is unbearable. So, here. So till we come to that understanding, it's enough, enough, enough. And once that happens inside, that disgusted, not disgusting, actually that I had enough of that. When that happens, aparaprakriti will automatically leave you. You don't have to shed the aparaprakriti, it will leave you on its own, and we will get fixed in the paraprakriti. We'll get fixed up in the paraprakriti. And once you are inside the paraprakriti, then you are liberated soul, jivan mukta state. And one who is stuck in the aparaprakriti, he is the conditioned soul. Is condition, that is Krishna calls it as baddha, బద్ధం, బద్ధం మీన్స్ బంధోముక్త ఇది వ్యాఖ్యో గుణదోమైన వస్తుత గుణస్య మాయామూలత్వా నమే మోక్షోను బంధనం. కృష్ణ, సో వన్స్ హూ ఈస్ ఇన్ ద పరాప్రకృతి హీ స్టడీ, హీఈస్ స్వస్థ. స్వస్థ మీన్స్ హీఈస్ నాట్ డిస్టర్బ్డ్. వన్ హూ ఈస్ ఇన్ ది అపరాప్రకృతి హీఈస్ ప్రకృతిస్థన్, హీఈస్ ప్రకృతిస్థన్. అండ్ దాట్ ప్రకృతిస్థన్ వాట్ కృష్ణ హెస్ స్పోకన్ అబౌట్ ఇన్ దిస్ వర్డ్స్ ఈస్ వాట్ కృష్ణ ఈస్ డిస్కసింగ్ ఇన్ ద నెక్స్ట్ వర్డ్స్. లెట్స్ లుక్ అట్ దట్ వర్డ్స్. పురుష ప్రకృతిస్థో హి భుంక్తే ప్రకృతి జాన్ గుణాన్ కారణం గుణసంగస్య సదసద్యోని జన్మసు. పురుష ప్రకృతిస్థో హి భుంక్తే ప్రకృతి జాన్ గుణాన్ కారణం గుణసంగస్య సదసద్యోని జన్మసు. సో దిస్ ప్రకృతిస్థ అండ్ పురుష, పురుష బికమ్స్ ప్రకృతిస్థ. దట్ మీన్స్ పురుష గోస్ అండ్ గెట్స్ ట్రాప్డ్ ఇన్ ప్రకృతి. హీ గోస్ అండ్ గెట్స్ ట్రాప్డ్ ఇన్ ది ప్రకృతి. వెన్ హీ ఈస్ ట్రాప్డ్ ఇన్ ద ప్రకృతి, ద రీజన్ బిహైండ్ ద నేచర్ ఆఫ్ ద పురుష ఈస్ అవిద్య. అట్ దట్ టైమ్ వెన్ హీ ఈస్ ట్రాప్డ్ హీఈస్ ఇన్ అవిద్య. పురుషో భోక్తో ప్రకృతిస్థ ప్రకృతో అవిద్యా లక్షణాయం, అవిద్య ఈస్ హీస్ లక్షణం. వెన్ హీ ఈస్ ట్రాప్డ్ ఇన్ ది ప్రకృతి. కార్యకారణ రూపేణ పరిణతాయాం స్థిత, కార్యకారణ రూపం దట్ మీన్స్ వెన్ ఈస్ ఇన్ ద ప్రకృతి దట్ ఈస్ కార్యం, కారణం ఈస్ దేర్, కాస్ అండ్ ఇఫెక్ట్ ఈస్ దేర్. అండ్ ప్రకృతి ఈస్ నేచర్ ఈస్ దిస్ కార్యకారణం. సో ఈవెన్ పురుష గెట్స్ ట్రాప్డ్ ఇన్ దిస్ కార్యకారణం, వాట్ విల్ హ్యాపెన్ ఈస్ దట్ పురుష స్టార్ట్స్ థింకింగ్ ఐఎమ్ ప్రకృతి, ఐఎమ్ ప్రకృతి. దిస్ ఈస్ దట్ ఐడెంటిఫికేషన్ డెవలప్స్. ప్రకృతి ఆత్మత్వేన గద ఇది ఏదద్. ఇన్ అదర్ వర్డ్స్, నార్మలీ వెన్ హీ ఈస్ నాట్ ట్రాప్డ్ ఇన్ ద ప్రకృతి హీ ఈస్ ఫుల్ ఆఫ్ నాలెడ్జ్, ఇసన్ట్ ఇట్. నాలెడ్జ్ ఈస్ హీస్ నేచర్, ఎటర్నల్ బ్లిస్ఫుల్ ఫుల్ ఆఫ్ నాలెడ్జ్. ఆల్ దోస్ త్రీ థింగ్స్ లీవ్స్ హిమ్ వెన్ హీ స్టార్ట్స్ ఐడెంటిఫైయింగ్ విత్ ప్రకృతి. హీ స్టార్ట్స్ ఫీలింగ్ దట్ హీస్ టెంపరీ అండ్ హీ స్టార్ట్స్ ఫీలింగ్ దట్ హీస్ ఇన్ ఇగ్నోరెన్స్ అండ్ హీ ఆల్సో ఫీల్స్ దట్ హీ లూసెస్ దట్ బ్లిస్ఫుల్నెస్ ఇన్ హిమ్. వెన్ యూ గెట్ పురుష గెట్ ట్రాప్డ్ ఇన్ ద ప్రకృతి, దట్ ఇస్ వై వీ ఆర్ లైక్ దిస్. We are always thinking, I will die, I will die, I will die. Somewhere that thought comes, you say, what will happen, what will happen? This fear inside. Tomorrow what will happen? Day after tomorrow what will happen? At the old age what will happen? And it is based on this, all the insurance companies are surviving. On the, because of Purusha's trapping in the Pragati, otherwise they will have no business. They won't be able to make any money in this world. All insurance companies exploit this. Purusha on his own has no need for any fear because that's not his nature, isn't it? Purusha, what is Purusha's nature? Eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. What is Prakriti's nature? Temporary, always experiencing the misery, distress, and all, no knowledge, and always in distress. No knowledge, always in distress. So, why does Purusha experience these three nature of the Prakriti? Because he got trapped in there. And that is where the shift happened. From Purusha lost his identity, and we got identity with the Prakriti. Yasmat tasmat bhunkte upalabhate ityartha. When, as soon as he got that identification with the Prakriti, he started experiencing the results of the Prakriti. What is that? Bhunkte prakritijan gunan. Prakriti has got gunam, Purusha has no gunam. Krishna has spoken this in the Bhagavatam so many times, is it not? He mentions there that sattvam rajastama iti na buddher na alpana. It's always in the buddhi, not in the almana. Na almana, he says. Sattvam rajastama idher, gunam idher, buddher na almana. He mentions that, isn't it? But why do we feel this prakriti in us? Prakriti jan, prakriti to jatan, sukha dukkha mohad, మోహాగారాది వ్యక్తాన్ గుణాన్ సఖి సుఖీ దుఃఖీ మూఢ పండిత అహం ఇది ఏవం. దట్ త్రీ మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ నేచర్, హౌ డస్ ఇట్ వర్క్ ఆన్ ఎ పర్సన్? ఇట్ సేస్ హియర్ సుఖ దుఃఖ మోహాగారాది అవ్యక్తాన్. ఇట్ కమ్స్ ఇన్ ద ఫార్మ్ ఆఫ్ సుఖం, దుఃఖం అండ్ ఇల్యూషన్. అండ్ ఇల్యూషన్,
Gunan, it makes you feel sukhi, I am enjoying. Dukhi, I am suffering. Mutaha, I am a stupid, I am an idiot. Sometimes I am thinking, I am a panditaha, I am learned. And aham iti evam. So on and so forth. This is Acharya Swamiji's Bhashyam on that verse. He is saying like this, that karanam gunasangasya sadasadiyoni janmasu. He says here, that, and he keeps on thinking like this, and he is experiencing that within himself. So, satyam abhi, avidyayam sukadukha moheshu guneshu bujyamaneshu, yaha sangaha altma bhavaha samsarasya sa pradhanam karanam janmanaha sa yatha kamo bhavadi tat kradur bhavadi. This is very famous in the Brihadaranya Upanishad. This message has actually come from Brihadaranyam. Brihadaranya Upanishad is saying ityadi shrutehe. Shruti says, Upanishad says here, so apart from the ignorance in a person, already there is ignorance in a person, apart from that, the attachment that develops from happiness and distress, these two things are responsible for the rebirth. One side, we have this ajnanam inside. Ajnanam is what? I am the body. That's ajnanam. That's one side of it. The other side of it is that when you are experiencing happiness and distress, attachment building up inside there. Asakti. These two things are responsible for the rebirth, for accepting another material body. One side is ajnanam or avidya, ignorance in us, that I am the body. That is ajnanam it is, isn't it? Secondly, after experiencing this sukha dukham in this world, after identifying with the body and experiencing the happiness and distress of this world, attachment has built up there to that, to the sukha dukham. So these two things, Krishna is saying, is responsible for the rebirth. For the rebirth. It's not only one thing. Ajnanam is already there, identification with the body. That is, from this you have to understand that how deep level the disease is. How deep level the problem is. We are thinking it's all on the surface. It's not on the surface. It's on a much deeper level in the subtle body. Subtle body is full of ajnanam or avidya. Added to that, I've experienced this world as some happiness and some distress. Due to that, I have developed some attachment to it. That's another cause of this. See, accordingly he operates, Brihadaranya Upanishad says like that. Tad edad aha karanam hedu gunasango guneshu sangaha asya purushasya bhoktuhu sadasad yoni janmasu. Because of that asakti, out of these two things, one avidya and the second thing this asakti. It is the asakti is the reason why we have to change the different bodies. Different bodies is due to asakti. Avidya is another cause for changing the body. Avidya is only cause of changing the body. But asakti is the cause of deciding which body. That's why we change the body. Sometimes you can see asakti, Prabhupada gave this example, that if you develop too much attachment to sex life, you have to stand in the like of a tree, he said, naked, for a long period of time. Nalakuvera Manigriva story in the Bhagavatam. They got absorbed in that way. Result was that Narada Muni cursed him. Go and stand like two trees there. 100 years you go and stand there. For 100 years stood there in that body, suffered heavily. All the wind, rain, sun, everything had to bear with that. Finally, after 100 years, Krishna came and released them from that body. Isn't it? So, you can see, Prabhupada mentions there, that depending on your attachment to different sense gratification, different bodies will come. Hog's body, monkey's body, these are all connected with that kind of activity. That kind of activity. Similarly, those who are attached to eating flesh and similarly things like that, which are not meant for consumption, they will have to accept the bodies of those animals whose main consumption is that body, that kind of food. So everything is vasana that is created inside due to our own actions. So here, vasana and asakti creates the different kinds of bodies, and avidya creates the cause of another body. Tad edad sat cha asad cha tayoho yoneha
సదసద్ యోనిః తాసు సదసద్ యోనిషు జన్మాని సదసద్ యోని జన్మాని తేషు సదసద్ యోని జన్మసు విషయభూతేషు కారణం గుణసంగః. సో హియర్ కృష్ణ మెన్షన్స్ దాట్ ఇన్ ఎ వెరీ సింపుల్ వే. కారణం గుణసంగస్య సద ఇట్ ఈస్ ది వ్యాఖ్యానం ఆర్ ఇస్ ది కమెంట్రీ ఆన్ దీస్ టూ లైన్స్. కారణం గుణసంగస్య సదసద్ యోని జన్మసు. ఇట్ సేస్ హియర్ దట్ డ్యూ టు సెన్స్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ అండ్ డ్యూ టు అటాచ్మెంట్ టు ద మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ నేచర్, ఇన్ డిఫరెంట్ మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ నేచర్ పీపుల్ హావ్ అటాచ్మెంట్ దేర్ ఇస్ ఇట్. సమ్ పీపుల్ ఆర్ అటాచ్ టు రజోగుణం, దే విల్ యాక్ట్ ఇన్ వెరీ స్ట్రాంగ్లీ ఇన్ రాజసిక్ వే. దోస్ ఆర్ అటాచ్మెంట్ ఫార్ తమోగుణం ఆర్ హు ఆర్ అండర్ ద గ్రిప్ ఆఫ్ తమోగుణం, దే విల్ యాక్ట్ విత్ తమోగుణం ఇన్ దేర్ యాక్షన్స్. అండ్ దోస్ హావ్ అటాచ్మెంట్ టు సత్వగుణం, దేర్ యాక్టివిటీస్ విల్ బీ ఇన్ ద సత్వగుణం ఆల్వేస్. బట్ దే ఆర్ ఆల్సో యు ఆర్ ఎ ప్రిసనర్ ఇన్ సత్వగుణం, ఆల్సో యు ఆర్ ఎ ప్రిసనర్ లైక్ ఇన్ రజోగుణం అండ్ తమోగుణం యు ఆర్ ఎ ప్రిసనర్. ఓన్లీ డిఫరెన్స్ ఇస్ వన్ ఈస్ ఏ క్లాస్ ప్రిసనర్, వన్ ఈస్ బి క్లాస్, అండ్ దర్ ఇస్ సి క్లాస్ ప్రిసనర్, బట్ యు ఆర్ ఎ ప్రిసనర్ స్టిల్, యు ఆర్ స్టిల్ ఎ ప్రిసనర్. సో బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ది అటాచ్మెంట్ ఫార్ ది సెన్స్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్స్ అండ్ ద మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ నేచర్ యు గెట్ గుడ్ స్పీసీస్, గుడ్ బాడీస్ అండ్ ద బ్యాడ్ బాడీస్. గుడ్ బాడీస్ మీన్స్ హైయర్ బాడీస్ అండ్ ఇన్ ది లోవర్ బాడీస్. So that different species, different womb or different womb where you take birth is what Krishna calls it as Sad Asad Yoni. Sad Asad Yoni. Sad Yoni means that you get sometimes the body of a demigod in the heavenly planets, life in the heavenly planets. Or Vidyadharas, Charanas, Gandharvas, all these are higher living entities compared to us, compared to human body. Why is there higher entities? Because they have knowledge by birth itself. Compared to us, they have knowledge by birth. They don't have to study shastram. They have this knowledge of the self to a large extent. They have in them by birth itself. Secondly, they have such powers what we don't have. Therefore, they are on a higher plane. They are on a higher plane. We are right somewhere in the middle. The human body, it is not very good. It's not too bad. Right in the middle. If it is utilized properly, the human body has the possibility of freeing itself from this bondage. And if it goes down, it can go into the lower species, which means if you get the body of the lower species, animals, plants, creepers and all that, very difficult to cultivate spiritual life there. You just have to go through the period time, whatever you are meant to live in that body, and then come back into the human body later on, where you have an opportunity to come back to spiritual life again. So సదసద్ యోని జన్మసు అస్య సంసారస్య కారణం గుణసంగః. ఇది సంసార పదం అధ్యాహార్యం. సో దిస్ రీజన్ ఫార్ వై వీ టేక్ బర్త్ ఇన్ ది సత్ అండ్ అసద్, ది గుడ్ స్పీసీస్ అండ్ ద బ్యాడ్ స్పీసీస్ వూమ్స్, ఈస్ డ్యూ టు ది కనెక్షన్ విత్ ది గుణం, విత్ ద మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ నేచర్. మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ నేచర్ సత్వగుణం విల్ న్యాచురలీ లీడ్ టు హయర్ బాడీస్. సత్వగుణం రజోగుణం విల్ లీడ్ టు హ్యూమన్ బాడీ. Tamogunam will lead to lower bodies. So, contact with the modes of nature has this effect on us. It will decide whether you get a higher birth or a lower birth. You will get a birth. That's important. You will get a birth. But you may go to higher birth if you are lived in Sattugunam. If you lived in majority of the cases, because we did not develop enough Sattugunam in this life, the chances are that we may come back again in the human species. In the human species. But if one has been so degraded in the human body, when he has got a human body, if he gets very degraded and falls into tamogunam, influence of tamogunam, chances are that he may have to go into the lower species. But when you discuss this, you have to also bear in mind, in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, hellish planets are discussed, isn't it? So normally we think that hellish planets is where everything is experienced, all the... No. It's not like that. Kapila Maharshi says this to Devahuti Devi, that most of the hell is experienced here itself. For example, you can see, if you look at this world today, and not today, any time, when you look at this world, you can see miseries that is experienced by people. Everything that is described in the fifth canto is happening here in this world at different places at different times. Isn't it? Think about war that goes on. In a war, what all happens? What all goes on there? Quite often people don't want to look at it. They say, there's nothing we can do about it. What's the point? Some people are saying, no, we have to sort this out. We have to send the army.
And till now, no war has been sorted out any problem in this world. Nowhere in the world it has sorted out any problem. Except that it killed a lot of people. And the kind of things that happens during the war, when you read through the books and the different descriptions of that, you wonder, do you have to go to hellish planets to experience this? Right now in front of your eyes it's happening. Isn't it? So many wars going on same time. And your so-called little comfort and happiness in family life, everything can be thrown away in 1 second when such a situation happens. Isn't it? So, sadhyo nayo devadi yonaya, asadhyo nayaha pashwadi yonaya, samarthyad sadasad yonayoho manushya yonaya, abhi aviruddha drashtavyaha. In other words, demigods, devas, that is the sadhyoni. Animals and for trees and things like that is the asadhyoni. Human body belongs to both. That also you can say. In human body, you can be a sadhyoni or can be asadhyoni. If you get into a sadhyoni, you will get an opportunity to develop spiritually. You will have knowledge properly about life and you will go in the right direction in life. That is sadhyoni. And in human body, both are possible. Sadhyoni is possible. Asadhyoni is possible. If you get asadhyoni in human body, what will happen? From day one, the whole environment will be like, the parents, the relations, the society, everything will be favorable for sense gratification. And also will engage in such activity which will completely degrade you further. So both sadhyoni and asadhyoni is possible in human body. In higher birth, in demigod's body, we are sadhyoni. Whereas the animal's body and the plants and creepers, they are only asadhyoni. That's why this is a sort of a central point, this human body. You can go this way or you can go that way from here, in either way. Edad uktam, after saying that, bhavadi prakritistatva akhya avidya guneshuja sangaha kamaha. Samsarasya karanam idi talcha parivarjanaya uchyate. Therefore, attachment to the modes of nature, and the avidya that is present in the prakriti, those two things important in the sense that because of the ajnanam or avidya in the prakriti, it is because of that. In the prakriti, there is ajnanam. And because that ajnanam is there in the prakriti, that is why we are getting attached to one of the three modes of nature. You see, the presence of ajnanam in the prakriti, that is influencing us. And due to that, we getting attracted to sattugunam, attracted to rajogunam, attracted to tamogunam. Because of the ajnanam in the prakriti. In prakriti, there is ajnanam, that is the nature of the prakriti. this leads into material existence. So if somebody asks this question, when did this all start, this whole process, people inquire all these things, isn't it? Sometimes devotees, you can see in the website, they are writing all these things. They are asking, when did the jiva fall? This is a big issue for them. They want to find out the date when exactly the jiva fell. and they are thinking it's something like falling down through a parachute or something from the sky. Jiva's falling is here itself. While in this body, it's no point in inquiring when this happened. It's there now. That's all you have to know. It's there. You are suffering and you are going through this cycle of birth, day after birth and death, one after the other. So Krishna's point is that as long as you are under the control of this prakriti, three modes of material nature, and as long as you have attachment to any of the three modes of material nature, you are in the recycling process. There is no escape from that. That is the principle. As long as you are in the prakriti, as long as you are under three modes of material nature, and as long as that attachment that is developed due to the modes of nature, it's like if you have sattugunam inside, you have attachment to the spiritual life, godly life, in other words. If you have rajogunam inside, you will have attachment to karma, activity in this world. And if you have attachment to tamogunam, you will feel depressed and always in a miserable state.
illusion. Illusion, in other words, moham takes over there. So, prakasham, moham, ajnanam, avidya. These are the three activities of the three modes of nature. Krishna is saying that when you have developed ajnanam of the prakriti has affected you, then it will come out in this form, attachment to one of these three modes of material nature. And asya cha nivritti karanam jnana vairagye sasamnyase gita shastre prasiddham. In other words, samsaram, this material existence, you get released from that only when that proper sannyasam happens. Krishna is not talking about taking sannyasam. Sannyasam means Krishna sannyasam, we will discuss in the 18th chapter in detail. When you study the 18th chapter, you will know what sannyasam means. That there Krishna calls sannyasam as moksham. That is why if you look at that 18th chapter, what is the title of that chapter have we looked? It's called Moksha Sannyasa Yoga. In other words, as far as Krishna is concerned, if you are a proper sannyasi, you are already liberated. You can't say that I am a sannyasi and I am not liberated. You should be liberated. Otherwise, you are not a sannyasi. Because these two things go together, moksham and sannyasam. That's why it's kept together. Moksha Sannyasa Yoga, Krishna calls it. Of course, when you translate into English, it's called conclusion, the perfection of renunciation. Renunciation calls it. But in the Sanskrit word, the original Bhagavad Gita, it is moksham and sannyasam together. They are not separate. You can't separate them. Moksham is sannyasam. Sannyasam is moksham. So that is why it is. So it says here, asya cha nivritti karanam jnana vairagye sa sannyase. If jnanam and vairagyam has developed in a person to the full extent, proper jnanam and proper vairagyam has happened, then what will happen to him? Sa sannyase. He is a sannyasi then. And this is famous in the Gita Shastram. Gita science is insisting on this. That's why he mentions here, asya cha nivritti karanam jnana vairagye sa sannyase Gita Shastre prasiddham. Gita Shastre prasiddham. Tal jnanam purastad upanyastam kshetra kshetrajna vishayam. This kshetra kshetrajna vishayam is that knowledge. Of that knowledge. Like these two things, jnanam and vairagyam will be the after effect of this. Now you know why jnanam and vairagyam is tied to bhakti. Bhakti cannot exist without jnana vairagyam. Knowledge and renunciation is the total package of the two children of bhakti. Isn't it? Bhakti Devi is two children. Jnana Vairagyam in the Padma Purana mentions there. This is the reason. Because once Jnana Vairagyam develops in a person, that then immediately you can see that he is a sannyasi and he is liberated. And naturally there will be bhakti in that person. Yajna Tvam Amrutamashnute Iti Uktanja Anyubohena Adhadharma Adhyarobena Cha. After knowing this, if you remember in the 12th verse, if you look, 12th or 13th verse, Krishna is saying, Yal Yatva Amrutam Asnute. Remember that? Yeah. Yal Yatva Amrutam Asnute, he says there. Yeah. Nyayam Yatat Pravakshyami Yal Yatva Amrutam Asnute. Amrutam Asnute, he says there, isn't it? Uktam Cha Anyobohena Adhadharma Adhyarobena Cha. After knowing this, after realizing this, Krishna is saying after realizing this, one has to reach that state of immortality. Immortality. And what does that immortality means? That except this Atma, no other Vastu exists. No other Vastu exists. And all other things is what I have superimposed on the Atma. Atma only exists. Everything, all other Namarupam is what I have imposed on that Atma. This knowledge will be clear. Tasi eva puna sakshal nirdesha kriyate. So, Krishna is saying here that that purusha prakritistohi bhungte prakritijan gunan karanam gunasangasya sadasad yoni janmasu. So, purusha, as what we have spoken so far, if he is prakritistan, if he is prakritistan, or prakritista means he is attached to prakriti. If he is attached to prakriti, he has to go through the happiness and distress of the prakriti. There is no exception to that. If he is prakritistan, prakritista means if he is attached to Prakriti or identified with Prakriti. When a Purusha gets identified with Prakriti or attached to Prakriti, then he has no escape except to go through the experience of the happiness and distress of the Prakriti. The reason for that distress is, in reality, that not due to that he has connection with the Prakriti, but he has thought that he has connection with the Prakriti. In reality, he has no connection with the Prakriti. Isn't it? Self has no connection with the Prakriti. But what has happened is, in that, in his identification is only an imagination thing. It's not real. It's not real. So, he falsely identified, false identification with the Prakriti, which reality not exists. They give the example like this. When you sleep at night in happily, so you suddenly feel that suddenly there was a cyclone or a thunder or a storm or something like that, or you have got stuck in a big forest and one tiger was chasing you, and sometimes you have fallen into a big pit while running away from the tiger, and suddenly with all that what happened in that dream, you fell off from the bed to the floor with the strength, power of that dream. This happened. So then you suddenly woke up, and when you woke up and looked, you've realized that there was no tiger, tiger was not chasing you, and you are not in the forest, but instead you are sleeping comfortably in the bed. That's what you realized at that time. So at that point you can't ask the question, why all this has happened? You won't get an answer, would you? When a dream like that, so many dreams happens like that, isn't it? Very powerful, strong dreams come, and then you suffer from that, and then you come out of the dream and you start thinking, why did this dream happen? So far nobody has found an answer to that question. It happens, isn't it? So but when you were in that dream, because you have identified with that dream body, what you are experiencing, that the tiger in the dream and the person who ran, and the forest you were experiencing that, and the pit you have fallen into, everything is you. That's the beauty of that. There was no tiger. There was no forest. Nobody was chasing you. You were sleeping and you were dreaming. In the dream, all these things happened. Krishna is saying to us, when you had that dream, when you were running in the forest and the tiger was chasing, and when you fell into a pit, and then till you woke up, all that experience, who created that? You yourself created that within yourself. The self created that for you to experience all that, isn't it? So except you, there was nothing there. Only the self was there. There was nothing else. But you experienced all the miseries of that dream, isn't it? So what is the remedy for that, from that dream, to escape from that? Only remedy is that you have to come out of the dream. There is no other remedy, isn't it? So when you come out of the dream, you have become what is known as, you come to your proper state. And that is called swastham. In Shastram the word is swastham. Swastham means to be situated in where what you are actually are. But when you come to spiritual level, it's a little different. Here, if you come from a dream state to the awakened state, it's called swastham. Swastham. Many old people, if you ask them, here you won't say that, they will say, what you do after retirement? Swastham. They will say. The answer will be swastham. I'm not doing anything. I'm just living. I'm not doing anything. Swastham. It's called swastham. Old people will answer like that. I'm swastham, living swastham. Swastham means nothing particularly, I'm doing anything. But swastham is not coming from dream state to awakened state. That is swastham here. But Krishna's point is, from Prakriti, when you come to Purusha state, it is also another swastham. You are going to your real swastham. That is the real swastham. Not living in the Prakriti and swastham is not possible. Living in the Prakriti and system. So ప్రకృతి పురుష ప్రకృతితో హి భుంక్తే ప్రకృతి జాన్ గుణాన్. కృష్ణ ఇస్ సేయింగ్ హియర్ దట్ యాజ్ సూన్ యాజ్ యు ఆర్ హ్యావింగ్ సమ్ అటాచ్మెంట్ టు ప్రకృతి ఆర్ ఇఫ్ యు ఆర్ స్టిక్కింగ్ టు ప్రకృతి దెన్ యు ఆర్ ప్రకృతి జమ్. సీ ద వర్డ్ కృష్ణ ఇస్ యూస్ దేర్ ప్రకృతి జమ్. జమ్ మీన్స్ వాట్? జమ్ ఫ్రమ్ జమ్ కమ్స్ ద వర్డ్ జననం, జర్మినేట్. దట్స్ హౌ దిస్ వర్డ్ ఇంగ్లీష్ వర్డ్ కేమ్. జర్మినేట్ కేమ్ ఫ్రమ్ జమ్. Sanskrit word jam, from that came the English word germinate. Germinate means to sprout, to take birth, isn't it? Jananam, or taking birth, it is coming from. So that is that word Krishna is using there, that prakriti jam. If you are attached to prakriti, or if you are sticking to prakriti, that means you are prakriti jam. You are prakriti jam. So from the word jam came that dadhu. Dadhu word is jam, germinate came, and it is from that the English word genetic engineering, genetic, all came from that. So because you are consuming that gunam, the three modes of nature, which has come from the prakriti, which you are bunjade. Bunjade means to eat. The three modes of nature, we are consuming that. It's not that one consumes only goodness and one consumes only passion and one consumes only ignorance. It's not like that. Gunam is always mixed. For example, in one person you will see all the three modes. In some time he'll be in the goodness. Sometime he'll be in passion. Sometime he'll be in ignorance. That's why gunanam asamishranam. There is a verse which will come later in the Bhagavadam. That this sammishram. Sammishram means a mixture of three modes. That's operating in us all the time. And that's necessary also, because suppose there is no tamogunam, you won't be able to sleep at night. And suppose if there is no rajogunam, you won't be able to get up from here and walk there, if there is no rajogunam inside. So sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam should be there in a person. But when sattugunam predominates, you become spiritually inclined. When rajogunam predominates, you become very active in the world, making money, running big projects. These are all symptoms of rajogunam. And when tamogunam predominates, you become lazy and illusion and depressed and completely losing all spirit of life, totally lost in that process. So so here Krishna is saying here because you are consuming these gunam which has come out of the prakriti, unjan prakritijam gunan. Krishna is saying here, isn't it? Purusha, because of that, Krishna is saying that Purusha becomes Prakritistan. He becomes Prakritistan. He becomes Prakritistan. Once you start consuming the gunam, Purusha becomes Prakritistan. Karanam gunasangasya. Krishna is saying the reason for that is gunasangam. Sangam with the gunam. And because he has connection with sattugunam, rajogunam or tamogunam, he has got sangam with any of them, he has to take birth in sat or asat yoni, womb. He has to take birth. And on the final result of that, there will be some good birth, there will be some bad birth. And so long as you have connection, if you remember this much, karanam gunasangasya sadasad yoni janmasu, that if I have contact with any gunam, whether it is goodness, passion or ignorance, I will continue to take birth and cycle of, I will continue to go through cycle of birth and death. Even if you come to sattugunam, you are not escaped from cycle of birth and death. You see, that is also you have to remember. That sometimes people think that we should be in sattugunam. No, sattugunam also is a thief. You remember that story? That one person was walking through a forest. Three dacoits caught him and tied him down, roped him and tied him to a big tree and stole everything from him and they escaped. And after some time, one of the robbers came back and he released him, untied the whole rope around him and took him out of the forest and told him, now you go, escape from here. That robber who has come and brought him out and let him go, he is the sattugunam. He is the sattugunam. Because while leaving, this person who got robbed, he says to this man, oh, you are such a nice person.
come with me to the land and live with us. He says, no, I'm not coming because I also a dacoit like the other two. Rajogunam and Tamogunam. So Sattugunam alone also is not the answer. That's an, people ask always this question, oh, how do I develop Sattugunam? Thinking that Sattugunam will solve all the problems. Sattugunam also is not solve the problem. Problem is this, as long as Krishna's point is, as long as you have a connection with any gunam under any circumstances, cycle of birth and death will continue. Either it is a demon's body or a demigod's body or a human body. Demon's body means Tamogunam from there or Rajogunam, and demigod's body means Sattugunam, and human body means mixture of both. Generally, it is like that. These three different kinds of bodies. So, according to the gunam, what we have contacted, the birth will happen. Karanam gunasangasya sansudyoni janmasu. So, I think we'll stop there today. It's 5 o'clock. We'll see tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.